Winter is coming. Winter is coming. Winter came for Florida tonight. It was 40 degrees outside in Florida. That is winter. For Florida, that's practically below freezing. This is your AEW Dynamite review for December 2nd, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster, first Dynamite recap for the month of December. And it's a big one. Winter is coming was the big tagline for tonight's show. They built the whole promotion for tonight's episode around the theme that this would be the biggest episode of Dynamite in the history of the company, biggest main event in Dynamite history. But as it turns out, Winter is coming was not just a tagline. Should have seen it coming, man. The whole Winter is coming thing, now that I look back at it, it was tailor-made for a debut. I don't know why I didn't see it. It seems so obvious now. We had a huge debut on tonight's show. We had a legend make his first appearance in an AEW ring. A legend who last appeared on TNT 19 years ago. Showing up tonight on Dynamite, he has signed a multi-year deal with AEW. The rumors were true. Sting made his AEW debut tonight on Dynamite. In the flesh, there he was, walking out to the ring. Sting has come to AEW. And you know, it can't be a coincidence that the one match that Sting has always wanted more than anything, any other opponent more than anything in the world, he says it in interview after interview, he wants to wrestle The Undertaker. And part of me feels it's not a coincidence that 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks after The Undertaker finally calls it quits, shows up at Survivor Series, he retires for now, hangs it up, that all of a sudden Sting shows up in another promotion. I mean, I know he wasn't under WWE contract anymore, but I can't be the only one who finds that a little too coincidental. The Undertaker retires, and then Sting shows up on AEW television. I think Sting finally realizes what the rest of us have realized for a very long time. That ship has sailed, and it's time to move on. And what Sting has moved on to, apparently, is TNT. And oh yeah, by the way, almost as an aside here, we have a new AEW champion. His name is Kenny Omega. Figure I'd sneak that in there. Kenny Omega is the new AEW world champion, and we have to watch Impact Wrestling on Tuesday to find out what the nature of the alliance is between Kenny Omega and Don Callis. Don Callis is, of course, the man, one of the men running Impact. He was a guest on the show again tonight. We've seen him before. He got involved in the main event. In fact, he helped Kenny Omega win the championship. And then he and Kenny fled to the back. We got a quick Tony Khan cameo on TV. We don't get to see Tony Khan very often. We hear his name every week. TK this and TK that. But there he was, and we have to watch Impact on Access Television. I don't even fucking have Access Television. And now you expect me to watch Impact Wrestling? It's bad enough I have to sit through 3 hours of Raw every week. You want me to start watching Impact now too? Now I have to watch Impact to find out what the hell's going on with Kenny Omega and Don Callis. This was a crazy show tonight. I will say, you know, the one thing I will say about this, this show, and I could tell just based on the number of people here and the messages I'm already getting, this is going to have a lot of people talking. This show already has a lot of people talking. So to that end, mission accomplished. Now we'll see what the ratings say tomorrow. I'm very interested now to see what these numbers are come tomorrow. So we got a lot to unpack here, a lot to discuss. Yes, it is being pointed out to me now, thank you, that Impact is, in fact, on Twitch. So I guess I do have a way to watch Impact. That's another show now I have to tune into. Got a little cross-promotion going on now with Impact and AEW. It's not a bad idea. Impact Wrestling, what's the one thing that Impact Wrestling needs more than anything else? People watching their show. Not enough people watch their show. They need to generate some kind of buzz, some kind of attention. AEW, they don't have to work with Impact. But that's one thing I like about AEW is they're open to working with other promotions. We saw Thunder Rosa on the show tonight. Thunder Rosa is not under an AEW contract. Thunder Rosa is signed to the NWA. But Tony Khan and Billy Corgan have a little agreement going on. And so we get to see stars from one promotion appearing on another TV show. Perhaps we'll start seeing that with Impact. We may have Ken Shamrock next week on AEW Dynamite. Who knows? So like I said, a lot to unpack, a lot to get into here. You're already seeing Super Chats galore. We opened with the Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal. I was a little confused about how this was going to work, and I think the company, frankly, was also a little confused because I had seen, and my assumption was that it was going to work very similar to the way it worked last year, which is that you have a Battle Royal, and the final two men standing in the Battle Royal would go on to have a singles match the following week to crown a winner. Then I heard, well, no, MJF is going to wrestle the winner of the Battle Royal that night. Then I heard, no, it's just going to be a Battle Royal, and the winner of the Battle Royal gets the Diamond Ring. In fact, I think that might have been what AEW said the other day. To put all of it to rest, it worked exactly the way it worked last year. And the final two men would meet next week for the what they claimed is the $50,000 Dynamite Diamond Ring. Yeah, $50,000. That's $50,000 the way that Ted DiBiase's $1 million belt is worth $1 million. All the participants were already outside the ring when the show started. The bell rang. They all scurried into the ring, and we were underway. Isaiah Cassidy got thrown out by Matt Hardy. Of course, Matt Hardy has been mentoring Private Party for many months now. So the announcers pointed out the fact that Matt dumped him out of the ring. We had Hangman Page working, working together with the Dark Order, or at least the Dark Order. They were acting very friendly to the Hangman. Sean Spears was eliminated. Tully Blanchard handed him the steel slug. He put it in his glove, got back up on the apron, and he walloped Scorpio Sky, who then promptly was dumped by Wardlow. So that continues that feud. I mentioned the Dark Order. Dark Order was eliminated. Both their members were eliminated. Hangman is on the apron. Hangman Page gets knocked off the apron, but all the members of the Dark Order, including John Silver, Evil Uno, they happen to be standing right there, and they catch him. They catch the Hangman as he falls off the apron. Hangman sees this. He goes, "Put me back. Put me back on the apron." And so they do. And so this other little side story is obviously going to continue. They're being very friendly to Hangman Page because they want him to join the Dark Order. So they're going to drag this out for a little while longer until I'm sure he does not join. He better not join. He better not join the Dark Order. So he ends up back in the ring, hits Buckshot Lariat to Mark Quinn of Private Party, turns him inside out. But Matt Hardy throws Hangman out to the floor. Matt Hardy is going all in now with this Money Matt thing, I think, anyway. So we're seeing the beginnings of, I think, heel Matt Hardy. He was eliminating people left and right here in this Battle Royal. Had a big smile on his face. Miro, who you guys know I'm no fan of how Miro has been used or portrayed on TV so far. They tried to portray him as a monster here in this match. Miro was going crazy. He dumps Mark Quinn. He dumps Matt Hardy. He dumps Joey Janela. So we have Wardlow, Sammy Guevara, MJF. They're triple teaming all members of the Inner Circle. They're triple teaming Miro from behind. So it was only those guys and Jungle Boy. Those are the only men left in the Battle Royal. Wardlow comes face-to-face with Miro. Two big bulls ready to go face-to-face, toe-to-toe. They go at it for a little while before Sammy and MJF jump Miro from behind again. All three ended up dumping Miro and poor Jungle Boy. Poor Jungle Boy is left all by himself with the three members of the Inner Circle. Jungle Boy and Sammy Guevara, they end up on the apron. They're doing spots on the apron. They end up on the top rope. A very dumb place to be in a battle royal is on the top rope. These guys are not too bright. Sammy Guevara, not too bright. Jungle Boy, not too bright. He's from the jungle, so what do you expect? So they're on the top rope. MJF pushes them off. Both men are eliminated, and they got me. Because I thought the Battle Royal was over. I saw it was Wardlow and MJF. I said, all right, this will be interesting. We're going to build to a Wardlow-MJF singles match on TV next week. I forgot. And that's what they were counting on, right? They wanted you to forget that Orange Cassidy, who was not eliminated, but he was taken out. He was on the floor. He was laid out earlier by Miro. He was still in this match. And Orange Cassidy was laid out outside the ring. So Wardlow says, now Wardlow is smarter than MJF and all of us. He goes, whoa, 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 we got Orange Cassidy. So he goes out to get Orange Cassidy. He brings him back inside. And he tries to dump him. He's got Orange Cassidy over his shoulder. He's got him slung over. He's going to throw him out of the ring. Orange Cassidy slips out. MJF has his back turned. He shoves Wardlow into MJF, who takes a tumble over the top rope, but Wardlow saves him. And he brings him back inside. Orange Cassidy hits the orange punch to Wardlow. Orange punch to MJF. A second orange punch to Wardlow. And he eliminates Wardlow, which means that next Wednesday, it is going to be one-on-one MJF against Orange Cassidy for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. I gotta tell you, I would have rather preferred Wardlow and MJF. I was actually kind of looking forward to that match. But what are you gonna do? Otherwise, I thought the Battle Royal was pretty much every Battle Royal that you've ever seen in AEW. Nothing really special about it. Just one of the new randos, one of the new random super chats, The Undertaker, praising, saluting the Paul Bear hologram, which was very cool. That was probably the best part of that whole retirement segment, was the Paul Bear hologram. Again, we got super chats coming in like crazy. Keep sending them on in. I'm going to get to all of them a little bit later on in the stream once I get a little deeper here into the review. I got a lot of people. How many people we got with us right now? How many people are tuned in right now? We got a good number of people. Trying to find out. We got more people than we usually would get for a dime. And this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. If you didn't like the show tonight, it almost doesn't even matter, because tonight was all about generating interest in the product and getting people talking. And just based on what I'm seeing so far, it is mission accomplished for AEW. Because whether you like it or you hate it, people have a lot to say about this show. So just you know, based on what I'm seeing here in the first 10 minutes, people are going nuts. We had Chris Jericho. People are going so nuts that if this stream craps out, by the way, just hang out for a little bit. If that happens, I may have to reboot, but I will be back. Chris Jericho against Frankie Kazarian. This was a first time ever encounter between these two. It was a fine match. There was really nothing terribly exciting about it. Kazarian had Jericho up on the top rope. Anytime you get Chris Jericho up on the top rope, I get a little scared. Especially when it looks like Chris Jericho is about to take a Spanish fly. Then I get really scared. Jericho is not the cruiserweight that he used to be. He's also not as young as he used to be. And it looked to me like Kazarian, who hit the flux capacitor, it looked like he landed right on top, like he tried to twist his body in midair. And it looked like he landed right on Jericho's face. I don't know if he did or didn't, but that looked a little scary. Jericho did kick out, though. Jericho ends up locked in his own hold. Kazarian gets him in the Boston Crab. Jericho is trying not to tap out. He's holding back. Ortiz gets up on the apron. He's got a weapon. Jake Hager is outside the ring, and Jake Hager is saying, no. Don't do it, because you'll get Jericho disqualified. Don't do it. And so Ortiz thinks better of it. He jumps down from the apron. It almost looked like they were stalling after a little while, like they were just waiting, and what they were waiting for was MJF to come out. MJF comes out with a white towel. So shades of what he did to his old friend Cody last year at Full Gear. Looks like he's about to throw the towel in. Out comes Sammy Guevara, and Sammy rips the towel out of MJF's hands. Now, Jericho does manage to get out of the move. The announcers were really playing it up like he didn't see MJF bring the towel out. All he saw was Sammy. Of course, Jericho now has a week. He's got an entire week to go back and look at the clips on Twitter and go back and watch the show and realize, in fact, it was not Sammy Guevara. Although MJF is already on Twitter egging him on. He's sending tweets, Sammy, I can't believe it. What did you do, Sammy? Why are you going to throw the towel in? This guy's a little prick. He's trying to stir it up. Remember Angelo Dawkins when he was still in NXT? He would do that that stirring motion that I never understood exactly what that was. He's stirring it up. But Jericho's had enough. Now all the members of the Inner Circle, Jericho, when he won the match, he had a couple of pin reversals back and forth with Kaz, but he hit the Judas Effect. Jericho gets the win. And now the members of the Inner Circle are fighting. So Jericho grabs the mic. He says, enough. No mas. This is bullshit. Cut the shit. Enough. And he says, next week on Dynamite, we're going to have an ultimatum. You guys have 7 days. You've got 7 days to get on the same page and get your shit together. Because if the Inner Circle can't get its shit together, then the Inner Circle after next week is no more. He is threatening to dissolve the Inner Circle if they can't all get on the same page. So that is the ultimatum they are promoting for next week. And so things are progressing exactly the way that I predicted months ago that they would, which is that if MJF were to win at Full Gear, and if he joined the Inner Circle, how do I see it going down? He's in the Inner Circle. He's only in the Inner Circle because he wants to destroy the Inner Circle. He wants to destroy it from within. He wants to break this group up. That's his only mission here. And now we're seeing it play out. He's causing all kinds of strife, all kinds of dissent within the ranks. Things are progressing exactly the way that, probably everybody expected, really, but it seems pretty obvious to me. Question is, will he succeed? What's the end goal here? Are they going to break up the Inner Circle? Is someone like Sammy Guevara going to come out of this as a big babyface? Is Jericho going to get kicked out and go babyface? I mean, there's a lot of different ways they can go with this. I see a lot of babyface potential in Wardlow when the split eventually comes with Wardlow and MJF. So they can have some fun with this. It is too soon, though. This is not the time to break up the Inner Circle. I do not see the Inner Circle breaking up next week. They'll threaten it. They'll tease it. It's too early. Way too early for that to happen. We had the Young Bucks in the back being interviewed by Alex Marvez about their upcoming match next Wednesday on Dynamite against the Hybrid 2. That's Jack Evans and Angelico. It will not be for the championship. And the Bucks said, if you can beat us, then we'll give you a shot at the titles. And I'm watching this, and I'm watching the way the Bucks are talking. If the Young Bucks are supposed to come off like a couple of douchebags, very unlikable douchebags, then they're doing a very good job. I don't know if that's the goal here, but that's how they come off. They come off like a couple of pompous asses. So they were interrupted by the new team of Anthony Bowens and Max Caster. Call themselves the Acclaimed, who just signed with AEW, so they have officially been signed. I've heard Bowen's name mentioned many times over the years. Physically, he looks very impressive. I'm kind of surprised WWE didn't take a shot at him, but they have signed with AEW. They've been appearing on Dark. Caster rapped about the Young Bucks' new book and about them looking, apparently on the cover, it looks like they're looking at each other's junk. You know, he thought he was John Cena battle rapping here back in 2003. Very nice. TH2 then attacked the Bucks and laid them out. And actually, this is the perfect time to mention this. For those who didn't hear it on the podcast last Sunday, the Young Bucks, in fact, do have a new book. It is called Killing the Business, From Backyards to the Big Leagues. There is an audiobook version of this available right now. You can buy it for $30. But why the hell would you do that? You can get it for free. See that link on your screen? There it is. Audibletrial.com/Solomonster. Get yourself the new Young Bucks book for free. Doesn't cost you a dime. That's the link to go to get a free book on me. Free book on the podcast. Doesn't cost you anything. As long as you cancel before the trial is over. If you like Audible, though, you might stick with it. But if not, there you go. You can get the new Young Bucks book for free. Those of you who would like to hear the story of Matt and Nick Jackson. Honestly, I've heard good things about the book. The book has gotten a lot of positive reviews. So, there you go. We had Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. One-on-one against the 4'11" legit Layla Hirsch. You don't see Layla Hirsch very often on Dynamite. In fact, I think we've seen her once. She's probably on Dark more often than she is on Dynamite. She may be very small, but I have to say, if there is one thing that you can count on, it is Jim Ross talking about her thighs. I feel like we heard the same thing from him last time. Now, she is, you know, obviously she's a short woman. She's 4'11". It's the first thing you notice about her. She's very small. But she's like a little bulldog, you know? She's got great amateur wrestling skills. But if she is in the ring, you can count on the fact that you will hear about her thighs from Jim Ross. The way that Jim Ross used to talk about the size of Albert's head, Prince Albert, old 8 3/8, however big it was, he will be talking about Layla Hirsch's thighs. Layla went for a dive out onto Baker. Baker got out of the way and let Reba, or Reba, Rebel, Reba, take the brunt of it. Jumping knee strike back in the ring by Layla Hirsch into the cross arm breaker, her submission finish. Britt transitioned out of it into the lockjaw, but Layla reversed out of that right back into the cross arm breaker. So back and forth we go. Britt gets out of it. Hirsch climbs up to the middle rope on the inside. I don't know what she's getting ready to do. She's got her back turned. Is she going to do a Vader bomb? Is she going to do a coffin drop? I have no idea. Reba gets up on the ramp, and she is distracting her. And Britt Baker capitalizes on the distraction, hits a twisting neck breaker, and then she locks on the lock jaw. Didn't even have a glove on this time. Got the fingers underneath the tongue, the way the Mankind used to do it. It's all about applying pressure. Remember the history of the mandible claw when Mankind first debuted it? We used to hear about Dr. Sam Shepard invented the move. It's a paralyzing hold. She had those fingers under the tongue. I don't know how smart that is during a pandemic, but there you go. Thunder Rosa comes out. She attacks Britt Baker, and we got a pull-apart brawl between these two. Reba threw some shots into Thunder Rosa, but Layla Hirsch comes up from behind, takes her down with a back suplex. And Baker and Rosa go back at it again and have to be pulled apart. So that is the next women's feud. This thing really wasn't long enough for me to say whether it was great or horrible. It wasn't a great match. I'd like to see more of Layla Hirsch on the show. Obviously, they must have some high hopes for her, just like they did Will Hobbs. You can kind of tell, you know, when they're featured on TV, the ones that don't have a name, they see something in them. She's very talented, but we just have to see more of her. That's what the women's division needs. Whether it's Layla Hirsch or someone else, Thunder Rosa. I love seeing Thunder Rosa. You can rotate some. They have a lot of names. Rotate some of those names. Let's see them. Next week, for example, we're going to see Abaddon back on TV. Abaddon looks to be next in line for a shot at Hikaru Shida. They did a very, very brief segment backstage. Shida was being interviewed. She heard some kind of noise. She got spooked. She walked off. That was it. There was really nothing more to it than that. But I think we just need to see more of her before we can really decide how good she is or isn't. She obviously knows how to wrestle. That much we know. We know that Layla Hirsch knows how to wrestle. I don't think anybody would debate that point. Then we had tag team match. This was one of the big news stories of the show. We had Darby Allin and Cody Rhodes teaming up together against Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs, representing Team Taz. Taz was out there in their corner. This was really up until the finish, when that's all everybody's going to remember. So I look at Flat Earth AJ here on, or is that Hornswoggle? I'm not sure. This was a power display for Hobbs. And what was cool about this, what I liked about this, is that you put Will Hobbs in there with somebody like Darby Allin. Darby Allin's not a big guy. And it's great, because Darby Allin will bump all over the world for this guy and make him look like a super shredder out there. And that's what he was doing. He was ragdolling Darby Allin. He hit an overhead throw to Darby by his ears. I don't know how he did this. He had him, not really, but he had him, you know, he was kind of holding on to him by the ears, but he almost like had him on his knees, and he just propelled him overhead. It's very impressive. So I enjoyed that. I enjoy watching Will Hobbs bounce people around. Darby is the TNT champion, though. So that's a little strange. Perhaps Hobbs will be in line for a shot soon at the belt. Darby finally got the hot tag from Cody. Cody ran wild. Taz jumped up on the apron, and that allowed Ricky Starks to gouge the eyes. Cody hit the drop-down right hand at a Cody cutter. Darby had blind-tagged himself in, but he hit the cutter to Hobbs, or actually he took Hobbs out with a dive outside. And Darby landed a coffin drop on Ricky Starks, and he got the pin. And Ricky Starks, his shoulder was up. Am I the only one annoyed by this? It was the way that Darby kind of cut. You know, when Darby hits the coffin drop, he'll put his arm under and kind of like cinch up on it. So I don't even really blame Ricky Starks. He looked like he was trying to get his shoulder down. But his shoulder was clearly up. The referee, come on, man. You got to get in there. Slip the hand under. Make sure the guy's shoulder is down. Ricky Starks should protest this. Referee's got to pay attention. Arn Anderson. How old is Arn Anderson? Pretty old, right? Arn Anderson, though, he don't care. He gets into the ring. He attacks Will Hobbs. Not a very bright thing for Arn Anderson to be doing. He attacks Hobbs. He attacks Starks. They've got Arn now. They're attacking Arn. They've got Arn's arms. Say that five times fast. Arn's arms hooked behind him. They're beating on him. He gets kicked in the gut. Dustin Rhodes runs out. Brian Cage runs out. And all the heels, they lay waste to the babyfaces. So Dustin is down, and Arn is down, and Cody is down, and Darby is down. And they're beating these guys up left and right. Will Hobbs grabs the FTW belt. All of a sudden, though, as they have Cody hooked. Okay, Starks and Cage have Cody hooked. Hobbs is going to hit him with the FTW belt. And all of a sudden, the lights go out. So the lights go out, and then we get basically a Winter is Coming-esque video. We see, like, wintry mountains and stuff. It's all about winter and snow. And that's when I started thinking, okay, this tagline is about more than just the main event. Somebody is showing up. That's when it hit me. I wasn't thinking it was going to be this person. I was racking my brain. Okay, who is it? It can't be Glacier. If it's going to be Glacier, I'm going to laugh. Because Glacier is a part of the Nightmare family. In fact, some of Cody's earlier matches in AEW, when he came out with Diamond Dallas Page, Glacier, Ray Lloyd, was with him because he was helping to train him. I said, boy, if Glacier walks out right now, we're going to have some fun with this on the stream tonight. But I knew it wasn't Glacier. As it turns out, Winter is Coming was meant for the debut of a new star. And that new star was Sting. Not from the rafters, out through one of the entrance tunnels. His name appears on the giant screen, and they have snow. Fake snow, like a winter wonderland, falling in Florida. When was the last time Florida saw snow? Well, they saw it tonight. I'm not talking about Miami. That's a different kind of snow. I've seen Scarface. But out comes Sting, and there's snow falling down inside Daly's place, and he's got the crow face paint, and he's got the long trench coat. He's got the baseball bat with him. Sting's first appearance on TNT Wrestling since 2001. Sting was in the main event of the very last WCW Monday Nitro on this very network against Ric Flair. And here he is now live on TNT again here in 2020. It's almost a full 20 years. It's almost 2021, and there's Sting. He walks into the ring, and he goes right over to Arn Anderson, who now is standing up. So now we have a face-to-face with Sting and Arn. So then Sting moseys on over. Cody is down. He's looking up at Sting, but he's down on the mat in the corner. Sting crouches down. He's looking at Cody. Sting walks over to the other corner. There's Darby standing up, and Darby looks all intimidated. He doesn't know what Sting is going to do. And Sting goes face-to-face with Darby Allin. And I got to say, you know, these people, because I don't know how many people they had in the building tonight. Probably about 1,000, if I had to take a guess, because they're letting more and more people in at Daly's Place. They started with like around 500, and they probably had about 1,000 tonight. I don't know if they were sold out or not of the allotment of tickets they opened up. But those, if it were 1,000 people or 900 people, those people were loud. Those people were shocked to see Sting. They had people in the crowd high-fiving each other that you could see them mouthing, oh my God, I can't believe it. They're on their phones, they're texting, they're tweeting. People were amped up to see Sting on this show. And it kind of made me sad because I feel like we said this about Matt Hardy when he debuted. We said this about Luke Harper, right? Brody Lee, who was going to debut in Rochester, New York, his hometown. Obviously, neither one as big as Sting. But imagine what we missed out on this year. When the book is closed on this year, we look at AEW and WWE. When we look at AEW and some of the names that debuted, what's the one thing that's missing? A packed crowd. Imagine Sting walking out in an indoor venue in front of 5,000 people, 10,000 people. Especially if most of those people had no idea that he was walking out. That would have been a moment. This was a moment too. But I can't help but think, oh man, this would have been that much more special. For him to come out in front of a shocked crowd, five times the size of the one tonight. But the 1,000 who were there, they were loud. And they were excited to see Sting. I did not think the rumors were true. We kind of laughed it off many weeks ago. And by the way, you know, when everybody was talking about this and I was laughing it off many weeks ago, that doesn't mean that there was a deal done. For all we know, the deal got done a week or two ago. We don't know. I'm sure the details will leak out in the days to come. But I laughed it off because it was all based on, I think, one rumor or report that was either on some random website or it was on Twitter, and there was absolutely nothing to back it up. And I got a couple of tweets already from people from some dum-dums tonight. Oh, Salamos are going to be big mad about Sting being on the show tonight. What are you talking about? Mad about what? Mad about you? Fuck you. Not mad. But, you know, when I was talking about Sting, you got to consider one thing here. The man is 61 years old with a bad neck. There was a reason the WWE would not let him back into the ring. And Sting decided against having the surgery that he was supposed to have because he was holding out hope that he could come back and have that match with The Undertaker. He talked about it in almost every single interview that he would do. He wanted to come back. He was hoping to have that match with The Undertaker, and it just didn't happen. And I think he figured if he had the surgery, that would probably be it. That would put the final seal on his career. And so in his mind, he was holding out hope. And you can kind of understand where he's coming from. Look what happened in the guy's last match. Yes, the last match he ever had, he was wrestling for the WWE Championship. Not a bad way to go out in the main event on pay-per-view wrestling for the world title. But that's not the way that he wanted his career to come to an end. He did not want his career to come to an end because of an injury that forced him out of the ring. You know, stumbling around on his legs, not being able to support himself, is not the lasting image that he wanted people to have of him. And I understand that, and I respect that. I get it. But he is 61 years old, and he does have a bad neck. And this will be the first in-ring action when he steps back into the ring, the first match that he has had in 5 years. I mean, when Shawn Michaels took 4.5 years off, I mean, he had one match in that period, but he was a lot younger than Sting is. So that's a long time away from the ring for a guy who we just don't know what he's got left. But I will say when he came out and Tony Schiavone is on commentary marking out for this guy. I know he was selling it, but it sounded like he was genuinely, I'm sure he wasn't shocked. I mean, maybe he was. I don't know who they clued in about this. Possible the announcers didn't know he was going to be there. I think that would be kind of cool if we come to find out that they didn't tell the announcers. Because Excalibur and Tony, they sounded legitimately surprised and were almost fanboying out. Tony Schiavone on commentary in 2020 marking out over a Sting appearance here on TNT. That's pretty cool. Regardless of what you may think about Sting being back in the ring and all this stuff, that is pretty cool. When Tony was marking out on commentary, I did enjoy that. But it did not take very long. They made the announcement. Tony Khan has said that Sting is signed to a long-term multi-year contract with AEW. This was not a one-time appearance. He's not going to be making a quick cameo or anything like that. He is signed, sealed, and delivered. For how many years, we don't know. But this is the last big contract of his career. I mean, it's 61 if it's multi-year. There will be no more long-term big contracts for Sting after this. I'm pretty confident in saying that. So he's going to be sticking around for a while. But when I talked about Sting coming in a while back, you remember, okay, the one thing I did say, where do I see the real value in Sting? Yeah, I think he'll probably pop a few ratings and stuff, but the real value, and the reason I said AEW should sign Sting, if they're going to sign him, for this reason. Because there's still value in the IP. There's still value in Sting. Sting can still sell merch. Sting can be, he or could have been, the ambassador for the company. But you have a video game coming out, you get Sting in the video game. You get Sting merch up there on shopaew.com. And that could mean something. I didn't really like the idea of Sting in like a general manager type role, but they got that new video game coming out, and I have to assume now they're going to work Sting into the game. They'd be absolutely out of their fucking mind not to get this guy in the game. I mean, that would be insane. You've got action figures that are out now. You've got a game coming out. Sting absolutely has value in that regard. So that was the reason I was arguing that, okay, it would be smart for them to get him for that reason. I wasn't so much thinking about him physically being back in the ring. And my only hope is this. I just hope that, you know, they're smart about how they use him. When he was in Impact, he was wrestling. He became just another guy. Felt like he was wrestling on TV every other week. I think that there are certainly matches you could do with him, but I think you want to save him for very special matches. You know, we don't need to see Sting on Dynamite every single week. They have four pay-per-views a year. You want to get three or four Sting matches on those big shows, maybe a couple of big TV matches. I think that makes sense. That's probably okay. I just don't want to see the guy get hurt again. I mean, it was very scary what happened in that Night of Champions match with Seth Rollins. And at the very least, please, no more fucking buckle bombs. For the love of God, no more buckle bombs. Please, can we at least agree on that? If I'm Sting, put it in his contract. Just say, like, say no to drugs. Say no to buckle bombs. No stupid moves. We don't need to see Sting doing dives or any of this other crazy stuff. I don't want to see the guy end up crippled. It was scary enough watching what happened to him. Feeling his fingers to see if he can get feeling back into his fingers. That's my main concern. But him tagging with Cody and Darby against Team Taz 3-on-3, that's, you know, an obvious match that would make sense. Sting and Cody and Darby against Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, and Will Hobbs. That could be a match. I was kind of thinking when it comes to singles matches, Sting against Darby, Sting against Cody, Sting against Jon Moxley, right? Sting against MJF. These are all potentially matches that you could build to. Obviously, Sting and Jericho. I would be stunned if they don't do something with Sting and Jericho. Actually, with Jericho, it's probably the safest match he could have. So these are all matches I would expect that they are going to have. I mean, you know Jericho is going to push for that. Without a doubt. Have they ever wrestled before? I don't even know if Chris Jericho and Sting have ever had a match. I don't recall them ever having a match in WCW. So if it didn't happen in WCW, then it didn't happen. Because I know it didn't happen in WWE. So that could be a big match they build up for a pay-per-view as well. But I just don't want to see him come back. You know, I understand that desire to come back and kind of right the wrong from 5 years ago, but just, you know, be smart about it. But there's no doubt that this was a huge deal for AEW, and I would be shocked. You know, it's funny with these things, people say, oh, AEW is going to get a million viewers. I don't think they are. Okay, that's number one. But if they were going to, they were building up a big world title match. The thing is, nobody knew Sting was going to be on the show tonight. So I don't even know that we're going to really see the effects of his appearance, ratings-wise, until the following week. They're already promoting Sting Speaks. That's when we're going to find out. What kind of juice does Sting have left in terms of attracting viewers? We're not going to find out about that tomorrow. We're going to find out about that the following Thursday. Because now they're building, Sting's going to be there. He's going to speak for the first time. Why is he here? Why is he in AEW? And that's where we're going to find out what kind of drawing power and the ratings that Sting has. So it is a big pickup for AEW. But look, we know that in the ring, his best days are behind him. What he has left in the tank, we'll see. It's been 5 years. Nobody knows. Until we see him in the ring, nobody knows what Sting has left to offer physically. But then it was time for the main event. 9:25 p.m. We had both guys in the ring, and they made it very clear that they had clearance from TNT to go over their allotted time. We've never seen an episode of Dynamite really go beyond 10 p.m. They pretty much keep them to that curfew. NXT occasionally will go over on USA because USA doesn't give a shit. I mean, what else is USA going to air on a Wednesday night? They would have a third hour of NXT. I hope I didn't just will that into existence. But believe me, if USA could get a third hour of NXT, even though it only gets 600,000 viewers a week, they probably would want a third hour of NXT. I really hope I didn't just jinx them, because I ain't watching 3 hours of NXT. I'm not watching 3 hours of AEW every week either. I'm all tapped out. We had Jon Moxley against Kenny Omega. Thank you, Dried Chicken, for the super chat. I'm going to be getting to all your super chats here in just a little bit. AEW World Championship match. Don Callis, the EVP, I believe, of Impact Wrestling, was back on commentary. If you recall, I believe it was at the match of Full Gear. Might have been the match of Full Gear between Omega and Hangman, that Callis came in and there was talk about, what does it mean? Is there some kind of working relationship between the two promotions? And he made it clear, I'm just a fan of Kenny's work. I'm a fan. I'm a friend. I've known him for a long time. And then we never saw Callis again. Well, he was back tonight, but he was back for a very particular reason, very important reason. Omega was working on Moxley's left knee early in the match. Moxley comes back with a bunch of released German suplexes. So they go to commercial. They come back from commercial, and Moxley hits the paradigm shift, but he does not go for the cover because he's an idiot. Instead, he goes outside the ring, and he gets two chairs from underneath the ring. And he brings them inside. Again, this is not a no disqualification match. And Tony Schiavone mentions they have a gentleman's agreement. Kenny Omega had told Jon Moxley in the contract signing, look, you have all these hardcore matches. You and I had a lights out match a year ago. I want to have a match with you where there's no garbage wrestling. There's no weapons. There's no tacks. There's no chairs. Just one-on-one wrestling match. And it looked like Moxley was going to break the gentleman's agreement. Instead, he sat down in the chair and he told Kenny to take a seat in the other one. And they did this spot where they're in the middle of a world championship match and they're sitting facing each other on folding chairs in the middle of the ring. And they start throwing slaps and palm strikes and right hands at each other. And then Kenny, out of nowhere, hits a V-trigger and knocks Moxley out of the chair. Follows that up with a Snapdragon. Moxley comes back, hits the King Kong Lariat, turns Omega inside out. Hits a second paradigm shift, but Kenny Omega kicks out. Kenny rolls out to the floor. So he's got presence of mind here, right? He's woozy. He's out on his feet, but he rolls out to the floor. And Moxley tries for a dive. My favorite move. Tries for a dive through the ropes. Paid the price for it, though, because Kenny caught him in midair with a V-trigger on the way down. Puts Moxley back in the ring. Hits the Tiger Driver 98. Moxley, though, gets the left shoulder up. Kind of like Ricky Starks did in his match. But I digress. One Winged Angel attempt is countered. Paradigm Shift also gets countered. Omega with a front face drop kick takes Moxley down. Hits a Ripcord V-trigger. Another One Winged Angel attempt gets foiled. So they end up outside the ring. And Moxley hits a Paradigm Shift into a pair of heaters. I thought there were two of them. There was at least one, if not two of them. But it was cold in Florida, right? It was a frigid 40 degrees, right? As I roll my eyes at that here being in New York, all you Floridians out there, why don't you come up to New York and try out one of these New York ways? Actually, then again, with everything going on, better yet, if you're in Florida, stay the fuck down there. I don't want you coming up here. But hit a paradigm shift into the heaters at ringside. And the referee, Paul Turner, is very concerned because they said that Omega, when he came down, it looked like the side of his head hit the heater. So he calls for the doctor. It wasn't Dr. Samson. It was some other doctor. But whoever this guy was, he was out there to check on him. Don Callis is very concerned. So Don Callis gets up, and Don Callis goes over to check and make sure Kenny is okay. John Moxley has seen enough. He goes, you know, fuck this shit. Enough of this crap. He grabs Kenny. He puts him back in the ring. So the action spills back inside. Callis has a mic in his... I don't know where he got the... I guess he grabbed it from Justin Roberts. He's got a microphone in his hand. And he's standing right there on the ramp. And Moxley comes over. Moxley knocks him down. This did feel a little bit like one of those old Impact main events. Like the old, like, TNA, Jeff Jarrett, overbooked main events. A little bit. A little bit. But in this case, it was leading to something pretty big. So there was a reason for it. He knocks down Callis. Callis is down. I didn't even see him slip the microphone to Kenny Omega. So unless there was a second microphone, I guess when he got knocked down, maybe it went flying or maybe he chucked it into the ring. I didn't see it, but he's down. The referee is checking on Callis. Kenny Omega's got the microphone in his hand. John Moxley doesn't know this. Moxley comes over, and as soon as Kenny turns around, he bashes him right in the head with the mic. And down goes John Moxley, and he comes up. He's bleeding. Of course he is, right? He's bleeding. It's a big match. If it's a big match with John Moxley, if it's a big match with Cody, you know somebody is going to bleed, right? You know that. So he comes up bleeding from the forehead. And Tony Schiavone is wondering, what happened to the gentleman's agreement? What happened to the gentleman? It's all I keep saying. What happened to the gentleman's agreement? There is no gentleman's agreement. It's professional wrestling. There are no gentlemen in pro wrestling. He should know this by now. Schiavone's been around for like 50 years. Come on, man. Smart nut. Kenny hits four straight V-triggers, one for each member of the Horsemen. And he hits the one-winged angel. He gets the three count. John Moxley suffers the very first singles pinfall loss of his career in AEW. And we got a new champion. For the first time since Revolution in February, when he beat Chris Jericho, John Moxley loses, and we have a new AEW world champion. Finally, and his name is Kenny Omega. And Don Callis is very excited by this. The announcers are talking about, was this a setup? He grabs Kenny. They flee through the entrance tunnel or the exit. I guess they're both, right? Entrance tunnel, exit tunnel. We briefly see Tony Khan yelling at Don Callis, please let us not get Tony Khan versus Don Callis at the next pay-per-view, please. So they're fleeing through the backstage area. They're high-tailing it. They're running as fast as their feet will take them. Camera is following them all through the back. Tony Schiavone is just beside himself on commentary. He's calling it bullshit. They go running out the back, right out to a waiting. It looked like an Escalade or something. It wasn't a limo. I think it was an Escalade. And it might have been Marvez catches up to Don Callis and wants to know what the hell's going on. And Don Callis says, well, you'll find out on Tuesday. And the announcer says, well, we're not on Tuesday. We don't have a show on Tuesday. And then he gets his big plug. You got to watch Impact Wrestling on Access TV. You got to watch Impact on Access. He goes, he and Kenny will explain everything on Impact. And they get in the car and they drive off. Now, as this is all going on, we hear Eddie Kingston's voice. So now I'm thinking, like, what the hell's going on here? And I think Eddie Kingston is in the ring. Eddie Kingston had come over to where the announcer, we never saw him. They didn't show Eddie Kingston. They just cut back to a shot of Moxley laid out on the mat. But Eddie Kingston apparently went over to the announcers and grabbed the headset. And he was saying, I want Lance. I'm not waiting. I want Lance Archer now. And then they went off the air. I don't know what the hell that was all about. I think they just wanted to have this very chaotic finish to the show. Mission accomplished, because that's what this felt like. This felt like just mass chaos. There's a whole bunch of different things going on at once. I think people were still thinking, they still had Sting on the brain from the big angle earlier in the show. But now we have a new world champion. we have this executive from a rival promotion who just helped screw Jon Moxley out of the title. He's grabbing Kenny. They're running out of the building. Tony Khan is beside himself. Tony Schiavone, it's not a good night if your name is Tony. Tony Khan wasn't happy. Tony Schiavone wasn't happy. Tony the Tiger is fucking pissed off. Everybody is pissed. And so let's just throw Eddie Kingston out there just to add to the mass chaos. It felt like a chaotic finish. Not necessarily chaotic in the way the old NWO finishes were chaotic in the day on Nitro, but it was like, wow, what is going on here? So that was a pretty wild ending to the show, I would say. A pretty eventful night of Dynamite. They did announce next week it's going to be, we already know, Orange Cassidy one-on-one with MJF for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. We know that the MJF Inner Circle stuff, the big ultimatum next week. FTR takes on Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr. Lance Archer, to go to what Eddie Kingston was talking about, next week it's going to be Archer and the Lucha Bros. I don't know where Pac is, but maybe he'll be in their corner. Taking on Eddie Kingston and the Butcher and the Blade. Abaddon will be in action. And Sting will speak his first words on AEW television. So all of that has been announced for Dynamite next week. Whew. A lot going on tonight. I'll tell you what, it definitely was different than the usual... that was a good episode of Dynamite. Like, it felt like there was a lot going on. It felt very busy. In a good way. So I told you my thoughts on the Sting stuff. The people loved it. People ate it up. Tony Schiavone ate it up. He was going crazy. And I think it's going to, in the short term, be a bit of a boost for the company. There's no doubt about it. But what Sting looks like in the ring, what matches they do with him, those are the questions that I'm curious to know the answers to. And those answers will become obvious in the weeks to come. We'll know more next week. I have not looked at the Twitter polls at all. So I'm very curious to see where we are here as far as what you guys thought of the shows tonight. And I have no idea about what happened on NXT. Here's the AEW poll. Coming up here. Whoa. Well, there you go. 89% thumbs up, about 11% thumbs down. It's a pretty commanding lead. NXT. Oh, poor NXT. Poor NXT. What is going on here? That's not good. You got War Games coming up on Sunday. They got a big pay-per-view of their own coming up. 56, basically 57% up for NXT. 43% thumbs down. There's no way the show was that bad. I mean, I know 57-43 is still a positive rating, but that seems kind of low. Seems a bit on the low side for NXT. No one's going to be talking about NXT tonight. It's going to all be about Sting and Omega and the Impact Wrestling stuff. And then they got a War Game show on Sunday. And I'm going to be back here with you, too. By the way, and I hope you'll join me. Even if you don't watch War Games, come hang out with me on Sunday night. Because when War Games is over, I'm going live on YouTube for a full recap. So don't forget, come on back. But let's see what you guys thought here, because I've been getting messages. Boy, I'm going to answer. I'm going to read every single one of them. If you got Super Chat questions or if you just want to support the channel, I'm going to be here for a little while yet with you guys. I hope you'll stick around with me here. But feel free to send those messages in. Super chats are open. Jackalope was A number one earlier tonight. And you guys are going crazy in the chat with all these messages. I can't even keep up with the discussion here. Jackalope was going to go back and watch the stream later. So he's going to be quite surprised when he finds out what happened tonight. Lord Frieza, that has to be Sting. It's not Sting. It's a picture of Sting. There's a difference. It's not Sting. It's a picture of Sting. JBL told me so. Abdul Rahman, thank you for the 10, man. Huge viewership numbers for Impact next Tuesday. Well, here's the problem with that. We don't know what the viewership numbers are for Impact because they don't release those numbers. It's almost impossible to find them. We hear reports occasionally that Impact numbers were up this week, and it's hard, too, because they're on Twitch. Now, on Twitch, you can probably see. Right on Twitch, you can see how many people are watching live. But on Access TV, they don't release their numbers publicly. It was the same thing when New Japan was on the network as well. Now, if they do really, really well, I'm sure they'll be putting a press release together to let everybody know, hey, we got, you know, 500,000 people watched our show this week. But 500,000 people are not going to watch Impact this week. So I don't know if we're even going to find out. It's very hard to get numbers when it comes to Access TV because they don't release them. Food Hive, awesome show. I love that AEW is working with other territories. Love to see it. Oz and Glorious says, I love AEW. I have not popped for anything in wrestling like I did for Sting returning tonight. What a great show. Sky Genie, I'd rather drink runny dog poo and semen than watch Impact Wrestling. Wow. See, I don't know if I'd take it that far. I don't think I would go quite that far. He says, Josh Matthews, worst announcer ever. Well, actually, now that you mention it. Now that you mention it, runny dog poo doesn't sound too bad. Well, you could always watch it on mute. You mean you don't want to hear Josh Matthews doing commentary? What is Don Callis doing here? He's got Kenny Omega. You don't want to hear that for 2 hours? How long is Impact? Is it 2 hours? I assume it's 2 hours. It's a two-hour show. Sounds like he has a stick up his ass. Patrice Herbert. AEW was great tonight. Do you have any news regarding Brody Lee? He has been absent since the dog collar match with Cody. Keep up the great work. I think Tony Khan was asked about that. Tony Khan was on a podcast, and I think he was asked about that, and they're keeping it very hush-hush. So I don't know what's going on with Brody. It sounds like I don't know if it's an injury or a personal thing he's tending to. I think everything's okay, but there's a reason he's been off TV, and he should be. They're hopeful he'll be back soon. So that's all we really know about Brody Lee. You like my Josh? I see other chat here. You like that Josh Matthews? Can you imagine me doing an entire podcast in that Josh Matthews voice? Let's read your super chats. Oz and Glorious says, this show is insane, but I absolutely loved it. Lance Morrell, thank you for the $5, Lance. Good to hear from you. Food Hive again. I ain't going to lie, he says. I popped loud for Sting. Ryan Spies, they are seriously making me sit through Josh Matthews' commentary for this angle. Oz and Glorious, who the fuck is Josh Matthews and why is everyone crying about him? Well, now you know. I didn't realize there were so many super chats about poor Josh Matthews here. Jacob Donnelly, very newsworthy AEW. And I thought it was fantastic from Sting's appearance to maybe an Impact partnership. I think it is all great. Yeah, well, just because they are obviously doing they have some kind of agreement, that doesn't necessarily mean there's a talent exchange. It could just be a few appearances. We don't know. We don't know the full extent of the relationship yet between the two companies. You know, Impact Wrestling could joke about it, but they have a lot of talent. They do have talented people on that roster. So would it be of benefit to AEW to be able to feature some of them on their TV show? It might. Depends what Impact wants in return. I like the idea of promotions working together. It is such a foreign concept, largely because of WWE, right? I mean, let's just be honest. That's not the way they do their business. There are pros, there are cons to working with other companies. Part of me, I understand why Vince McMahon is averse to wanting to work with other promotions. Yeah, he might be thinking, we're the biggest one. Well, how does it benefit us to give them exposure? You know, to them, they don't care. They'll put the smaller indie promotions on their network, like WXW and ICW. So I can understand it, but as a fan, I think it's great. The fact that we can see a Thunder Rosa, for example, or a Serena Deeb, who is signed. Thunder Rosa is not signed. But the fact that we could even see an NWA Women's Championship match on Dynamite is pretty cool. Who knows? We may end up seeing an Impact Wrestling World title match one of these days. On an episode of Dynamite or on a pay-per-view. Bobby AJ. I'm going to be honest, the card was kind of underwhelming. The matches were not bad, but I think Dynamite did not deliver that much. I will say this about the main event. The main event was designed to really kind of maximize the impact of the finish, right? The shock value they were going for. If we really just take a step back and look at that main event tonight as a big match they were promoting for a few weeks, it wasn't at the level of what you would expect of like a big world championship pay-per-view main event. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't this epic match that anybody is going to remember, really, I think, outside of the finish. It wasn't about the in-ring as much as it was about getting to that finish. And there could be no doubt at this point that Kenny Omega is a heel. Some people were arguing with me, oh, Kenny's not a heel. He's not a heel. Well, now he is. Because he cheated to win, and now he's running off to another promotion. I'd call that a fucking heel. So that was really the big news of the match. As a match, how many Kenny Omega matches have we seen that are 10 times better, right, than the match we had today? Even Jon Moxley has had much better matches. So I would agree. If you were just looking at it and judging it from a match perspective, it was a little disappointing. It was a little underwhelming. Not a bad match, but not at the level I think that you would expect. Chris Ludek, growing up in Connecticut and moving to Cali and seeing people say 50 degrees is so cold, makes me laugh. Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of people who think that 40 degrees is below zero. But to them, it depends where they live. You know, if you live in a warm climate, then it makes sense that you would feel that way. Florida, though, has had colder weather than that. I know that for a fact. They've had a lot colder than 40. Darlene. What's going on, Darlene? I always see Darlene in the chat. Good to hear from her. It's sad that WWE has brainwashed some wrestling fans into believing that different wrestling companies working together is a bad thing. I agree. I don't see it as a bad thing at all. Jared M. with the $35 super chat. I believe that might be our biggest of the night so far. 31 or 61 years old, Sting. So Jared is excited. He is excited. And I know Jared's an old school wrestling fan, so I know he's excited to see Sting. EJ, are you surprised AEW is working with Impact and NWA and not with Ring of Honor? Not necessarily. There's still some questions about what's going on, for example, with Marty Scurll. I don't want to get into that whole thing. I think you guys already know. He was in a position of power in that company. It was taken away from him. As far as I know, he's still being invested. I would love to know the results of this investigation and what the status is of Marty Scurll. But there could be other reasons why. You know, there could be. I'll tell you the partnership I'm waiting for. I think you guys know, right? I mean, come on. You want a partnership, you got to get that AEW New Japan partnership going. And I'm hoping that when we start to climb out of this whole pandemic situation and travel restrictions are eased a little bit, next year, hopefully, we'll start to perhaps see some more cooperation between the two companies. It's one of my big hopes for 2021. Chase Wood with the 15, AEW bringing in another legend. I like Sting, popped huge for him, but AEW is so legend heavy right now. They do have a lot of legends. Would you consider Taz a legend? I guess you might, right? Taz, Jake, Arn, Tully, Sting. Who am I missing? What other legends or managers? I feel like they have so many of them. Magician Sapphire. This show was fucking nuts, and I love it. Ryan Spy says Impact also has Twitch, so you can watch on that. Yes, I am now aware. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $10, my friend. I got a lot of really cool tweets, by the way, today. I guess Spotify must have told people how much watch time they've had on their podcast and stuff. So I got tweet after tweet after tweet from people telling me that the Sound Off was their number one podcast of the year. They listened to me for like 9,000 minutes or something crazy like that. Some people listened to over 100 episodes of the show. It's crazy. That's nuts. You guys are out of your mind. But I love it. Thank you for sharing that with me. That really was very special to me to see that I am your number one or in your top five. You know, even if I'm not right there, number one, that's very cool. I like seeing that. Zach Barber, I bury Impact as a joke whenever I can, and I'll be damned if they haven't found a way to make me watch it on Tuesday. Rodimus Prime just matched our biggest super chat of the night. He just matched Jared, $35. Did not watch the show tonight, but heard what happened. It's obvious after tonight, AEW will murder NXT in the ratings. Well, again, they might because they promoted that world title match. But I think the bigger thing to watch for is not this week. It's next week. Next week, they'll slaughter them. I mean, I think next week, NXT doesn't stand a chance. NXT actually won last week. I think NXT won by 2,000 viewers. They were almost tied, and NXT did win last week. I don't think that's going to happen this week or next. Chris Quillman, looks like Tony Khan started following through with his promise from a couple of weeks ago. He has been talking a lot about surprises that they have up their sleeve. I don't know if there's any surprise bigger than Sting. I don't know who it could be. Sting may have been their big gun that they were kind of waiting to fire. Out of the chamber, but we'll see. He did promise some surprises that were coming. That was definitely a surprise. It was a surprise to me. CJ LaChapelle, do you agree that people that bring up... Yeah, CJ, you could email me. You could always email that to me. Let's keep it to AEW. Quintus Brown, AEW Impact Alliance... In the words of Triple H, it is best for business. Well, it's best for Impact's business. Impact's got to get something going. So Impact has absolutely nothing to lose. Nothing. Dry chicken without flavor. I see you took the turkey out of there. Now Thanksgiving is over. No more dry chicken and turkey. I'm happy to see Sting in AEW. He deserves a better closure in his wrestling career. 2015 sucked. Hey, one and only, thank you for the $4, man. Jared Simpson with the $5. He says, now AEW has their Undertaker. And the nail in the coffin is that they had a screaming live audience present for it. Well, they had more people than the Undertaker did for his little retirement ceremony. So at least they had somebody in the audience. Even Undertaker's friends weren't there. They all got bored and they left and they went home. Ryan Spies, can Chris Daniels win the Impact title now, please? One and only again. How long do you think until we see Nick Aldis in AEW? Nick Aldis is somebody who does deserve, I think, to be featured. I thought he carried himself and carries himself very well as the NWA champion. The problem is you don't want to give too much television time to too many people who are not from your promotion. I like that AEW does that, but you do have to be careful that you don't overdo it. Now, when I talk about the NWA women's title matches we've seen on Dynamite being better than the AEW women's title matches, it's great that we can see those matches, but that's a problem. When your NWA women's championship matches are better than a lot of your AEW women's title matches, how does that make your own title look, right? So now if you've got a Thunder Rosa on the show, you've got these other people on the show, at what point do you say, okay, we got all these other people that we're not able to feature right now. AEW has a lot of talent. Every week on Dark, I feel like I see a listing. This week, it's 17 matches. How the fuck do they fit 17 matches in 2 hours is what I want to know. But that just goes to show you all the talent, and not all of them necessarily are signed or are ready for primetime, but they never got the second show that they're contracted to get. They're going to get a second show. We still have no second show. So you have all these people who are not being featured. So how would that make them feel? If they start bringing in Nick Aldis or the Impact World Champion or all these other people, when you've got so many people on your own roster who aren't getting TV time. So I'd like to see Nick Aldis back on TV, and we probably will. I know NWA had just started up a new show called Shockwave. I haven't been able to check it out yet. But he deserves a bigger platform. And do I think we may see him in AEW at some point on TV? Yeah, I do. I just don't know that right now is the right time. JC Zephyr. What an epic Dynamite. I better see a 90% thumbs up on your Twitter poll. Hey, we hit 89. 89%. So you were close. It's basically 90. I don't know if that's where it's going to end up, but that's where it is right now. Shannon Smith, is Santana hurt? No match since the street fight. He might be. He wasn't there tonight either. We saw Ortiz, but there was no Santana. So he may have an injury. I don't know. I haven't heard. Spanish Goddess, awesome show. Man, I hope to see Motor City Machine Guns against the Young Bucks or Chris Bay against Ricky Starks. But who attacked Moxley? Was it Eric Young or EC3? What if it was Sting? Maybe Sting did. Maybe Sting hit him in the face with a baseball bat. We don't know. Hugh Jazz. Very funny. Great name, by the way. Hugh Jazz with the super chat. Josh Matthews is all elite, he says. Are you excited? Oh, I'm just tickled fancy.
I'm very excited.
Very excited. Can't you hear it in my voice? Sounds like I'm straining to take a shit when I say that. Quintus Brown, AEW versus Impact pay-per-view down the road, yay or nay? I don't think pay-per-view, but I think you could probably do a special episode of Dynamite. You could probably do something like that. By the way, you know, who attacked Moxley? Depending on how deep this relationship goes between the two promotions, we could come to find out, you know, given Don Callis was involved in the main event, it would not have been very hard for Don Callis to get one of his boys under Impact contract to somehow get into the building, show up, and take out Jon Moxley. If they wanted at some point Moxley to have, you know, a match with somebody from Impact, I don't have the Impact roster in front of me. I'm not sure who that would be, who the best person would be. I'm sure it's not Ken Shamrock. But maybe it was somebody, maybe we come to find out that it wasn't Kenny, it was somebody from Impact. Professor John Gotti, I'm going to get to Professor John Gotti. Super, I love that super chat. I love that super chat. GV2186, storytelling was the best part of Dynamite tonight. Spanish Goddess prediction, EC3 was the one who attacked Moxley. Okay, there's a possible name. There's a possible name. Maroa. How do you see AEW's collaboration with other feds going, especially post-pandemic? Do you think they will have one big super show with all of these federations? I don't know that I see one big super show, but I think they would probably want to continue the working relationship. I mean, there's no reason to cut it off. I mean, if you can maintain a positive working relationship with Billy Corgan, with Don Callis, you know, New Japan now is under new management. At some point, I think that probably will happen. Ring of Honor, who knows? It could happen with Ring of Honor, too. I like that. I like the idea. It's almost like bringing back this territorial system. You can never go back to the territory days. Now you've got, you know, national cable. It's different. But having this symbiotic working relationship, I think as a fan, it's just really cool. So I don't see it ending. Domination Warrior. Hobbs reminds me of David Banner. Which would you prefer, a medieval cover of a Hall & Oates song or a Vaporwave one? Probably Vaporwave. Probably something like that. 561 Mexico. I was there live. Oh, here we have somebody who was at the show. I was there live. It was shocking and holy shit, chants were loud. I'll be calling in as soon as you open the line. Well, we'll see. I'm going to see if we might open the lines here in a little bit. I'm not sure yet, but stay tuned. Let me get through some more of these. Dry Chicken. Do you see a Sting versus Matt Hardy match at the Hardy Compound in cinematic fashion? I don't, and I kind of hope not, honestly. I like the fact that Matt is going in a different direction now with his character. I think the broken Hardy stuff now is a little played out. You got to just kind of leave it be for a while. So I'm okay if Matt, you know, I was worried that we would go back to just plain old Matt Hardy, but if he's going to really ham it up as a heel or do the whole big money Matt thing, I think there's the potential it could be entertaining. I think you got to just put the cinematic stuff to bed for now. We've seen so many cinematic matches this year that I think it's cinematic fatigue at this point. I mean, we've seen it everywhere. We've seen it in WWE, NXT, AEW, I mean, Impact. Impact's done cinematic type stuff. If you want to count the Wrestle House stuff as kind of cinematic, I just think it needs to die down for a little bit. How can you really miss something, right? If it's never really gone away. So let it go away for a little bit. Gabriel Caruso with the $20. Thank you, Gabriel. Do you think that announcing the AEW Championship match on Impact this Tuesday is a step in the right direction for wrestling? Out of the WWE bubble. AEW, NWA, and Impact being promoted on TNT, plus New Japan references the past few weeks. Like I said, I see it as a positive thing. If at some point AEW comes to the realization that promoting other companies is somehow detrimental to their business, then guess what? It'll stop. And they won't be working with them anymore. Spanish Scottish, Impact needs to improve because lately it has been bad. Dry Chicken, AEW's Winter is Coming episode was better than Game of Thrones' final episode. Shout out to my Game of Thrones fans. Well, you tell me, two shows that I've never watched, but I heard awful things about their finale. What was worse, the Game of Thrones finale or the Dexter finale? You guys can let me know in the chat. Enigma 316, I love this New Age territory vibe AEW seems to be inspiring. Jamin John, buy or sell, Hogan in Rocky 3 or Jesse Ventura in Predator. Jesse Ventura, man, come on. Jesse was kick-ass in that movie. Moroa, sound off podcast with a mashup between your Josh Matthews and your Vince Russo impersonations would be an all-time classic. And it would kill my voice. You know how long my shows are. Really, if you listen to the podcast, you know how long they could be. I don't think I would survive. I'd be spitting up blood before I'm even done recording the full show. It looks like the consensus in the chat seems to be Dexter. I heard a lot of bad things about the way Dexter ended. So that seems to be winning so far. Uffman Entertainment. What would a Josh Matthews and Vince Russo conversation sound like? You're going to make me do this. Oof, man, are you going to make me do this? Maybe later. Jamin John, who is AJ Styles' greatest rival? Samoa Joe or Christopher Daniels? Well, his greatest rival. I might go with Joe on that. I might go with Samoa Joe. Food Hive. Your Josh Matthews, Russo, and Snuka impressions. Oh, I haven't done a Snuka in a while, brother. Brother, I haven't done one of those in a while, brother. Frost757, I guess since AEW couldn't get that New Japan partnership yet, they had to go with option C. Ooh, twisting the knife is Frost. Ali Nadim, Dynamite was so good, it'll make me watch Impact. Isaac Piotrowski. What do you think about AEW possibly introducing trios titles in 2021? I have advocated for it. I think we are going to get them. I think it's a good idea just because we have so many 3- and 4-man groups in this company. Tony Khan was just asked about that. He sounds on board with the idea. So it sounds like in 2021, probably, we're going to get trios titles. He doesn't want to do it right now, and I agree. It doesn't have to happen right now. But it sounds pretty good. Like, we're going to probably end up getting those trios belts. I mean, look, I felt like it worked in Lucha Underground, and it can work here, too. And I'm normally not a big fan of just adding new belts. But I think in this case, it would probably work. Oz and Glorious, let's be honest. Who wouldn't rather see Nick Aldis on Dynamite than Joey Janela or Kip Sabian like we currently do? Well, you got a point there. Professor John Gotti. Young Bucks versus Good Brothers and FTR against the North, possibly. Very possible. Very possible. Heard a lot of good things about the North. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, do you see an all-in two with AEW having multiple partnerships with other wrestling promotions for a super pay-per-view show? And again, I don't know that it would be a pay-per-view necessarily, but I could see... You know, some kind of Well, I mean, maybe something on like a BR Live, maybe. But I would almost see it as more of a TV special to try to pop a big rating. Tyler Joseph with the $15. Happy holidays, Solid Monster. Thanks for an awesome year. I cannot wait for many more to come. Well, I am very happy that you have joined me, and hopefully you will continue to join me. So thank you. HBKC83, do you think AEW potentially working with other promotions will be on WWE's radar? And if so, do you think it'll make WWE up its game? I think this is a great example of competition being a good thing. Do I think that this is going to inspire WWE to work with other promotions? No. As long as Vince McMahon is in charge, I don't see that. If Triple H were in charge, I still don't see it, but I at least feel like he'd have a more open mind to stuff like that. But with Vince McMahon, you know, running the show, you know, when you say up your game, it depends what you mean by that. I would love for up your game just to mean to put out a better product, especially on Monday nights. That would be fantastic. Instead, we keep hearing stories about scripts being finalized at 7:20 p.m. That's not good. We have some more messages coming in. I did tell you guys I was going to read every single thing you sent in to me. So, EJ, with one more message here. An AEW versus the world feud could work. The story could be other promotions say they pay their dues, and then AEW came along causing jealousy on the indies. Interesting. Interesting. I don't even know that it needs a story. I just think you could potentially get to a point where, you know, the promotions just want to know, where is the best talent in the world coming from? Do some kind of big tournament. Here's the problem that you run into, though, right? Everyone's talking about, oh, what if we get a supercard or you do a tournament or something? Well, then who wins? There's a lot of egos in pro wrestling. People sometimes, I do the same thing where you'll talk about the concept of it, and then it's like, all right, well, how do you actually put it into execution? Who wins? If they have some kind of competition or a tournament, who wins? Going to have a three-way tie? You can't do that. So there's some potential issues involved there. But I would love to see them come up with something along those lines. I think it would be fantastic. Absolutely. That would be a fine idea, EJ. Something along those lines. But it's hard to take the ego out of it sometimes. If I were AEW, I would just insist that it be me. Because when you're comparing them to some of these other, you know, promotions, it's like, you know, they're bigger than they are, so. Boots! Holy shit, look at Boots! With the $100 Monster Mania drop! Look at that, arr, brother! Fuck yes, Boots! Holy shit, Boots, you just took the record for the night. You just blew everybody else out of the water. Says, happy birthday, Solomon. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Solo Monster. Are you on Patreon? Well, I am not on Patreon. We do PayPal. Not on Patreon, although I am going to be setting up YouTube memberships. I had a lot of people ask me about the YouTube memberships. I will be setting that up soon. I just got to get, you know, if there's one level or a couple of levels worked out, and that would just be another way for people, if they want to support and be a member and get some perks, you'll be able to do that once I get that set up. But no, I'm not on Patreon. It'll be that. We got the super chats here on the stream. There's a little PayPal button on the solomonster.com on the right hand side if you want to support that way, or you can just tune in, man. Hit that like button, subscribe, hit that like button, and just support and share. That's really the best thing you can do. But Boots, man, thank you. That is huge. Boots dropping a hundy bomb here on the stream. Almost midnight here on a Wednesday. Now we're having a good time. I was in a good mood even before Boots chimed in with the $100. But now I'm in an even better mood. Oz and Gloria says Sting. I say Boots. He says Sting. Eddie Hernandez. Crazy Eddie. What's going on, Eddie? Do you think if they introduce the trios belts, they should remove the tag team belt? You can't do that. You got to have tag team belt. How can you remove the tag team belts in a company that I would argue has the best tag team division right now in all of wrestling? If anybody should be removing the tag team belts, it's WWE. AEW should not remove their tag team tie. They have some of the best teams in the world right now. They have a very robust tag team division. You need to have tag team titles. I think the tag team titles and the trios titles can coexist. But yeah, to answer your question, no. I would definitely not get rid of the tag team titles. Jaren, you hear Tony holding back tears announcing Sting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was holding back tears. He might have been. He might have been holding back tears. He just sounded very excited. Which makes me wonder if maybe he wasn't clued in. I find that hard to believe because I have to think Sting was there all day. They were probably catching up like old pals. I think it would be really cool if they hit, like WWE would hide people away. They did that with Sting too. We'll see when the news comes out, but I would hope it would be cool, I think, if they hit him away and they wanted to go for the genuine reaction from Tony and the people in the building. I just think he was... Yeah, like Oz said here in the super chat that's coming in now, he used the word euphoric. That's how Tony Schiavone sounded. He sounded literally like a happy little kid. He's probably called so many Sting matches in his career. Sting, he and Sting probably are old friends. So for him to see Sting come out, and Tony was there, right, on that final night of Nitro. In fact, Tony was probably the one calling Sting's last Nitro match against Ric Flair. So I'm sure to him... it was a very, you know, genuinely special moment. So yeah, maybe there were some tears going on there. But yeah, Oz says he is euphoric hearing Tony Schiavone yell at Sting. Erased a lot of the misery of 2020. Well, it erased some of it. Let's not get carried. 2020 has been a pretty shit year. It's going to be hard to erase the memory of 2020. But I will be happy to do it. I'm pretty sure we're going to end up doing that New Year's Eve stream. We're going to do an inbox. We're going to do a sound off inbox live on YouTube, probably December 31st, either 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. We'll start. And I'll answer your questions and super chats and everything. And we'll go right on into the new year. So we can give a nice big F you to 2020. We can ring in the new year. And the first little bit of 2021, if we're being honest here, is not going to be that much different. But I think we're all hoping for a much better year in 2021. So I think we're all caught up now. I believe we are. All right. Whew, that was a lot to get through. You guys came out in full force tonight, and we have a lot of excited people who seem to be, I mean, just looking at this Twitter poll. We'll take one more look at it here. That's pretty overwhelming. 89% thumbs up on the AEW show. And then on the NXT side, still positive, but a much weaker figure. Unfortunately for NXT, not a lot of people, I think, are going to be talking about that show tonight. And that's not what you want to see when you're going into a War Game show on Sunday. But War Games always delivers, right? It's hard to do a bad War Games. I mean, I'm sure WCW did a few of them. But yes, I will be with you on Sunday, not just for episode 681. See all those little platform logos on your screen right now? Pandora, Spotify. Spotify kind of shit the bed the other day. I don't know what happened there. I don't control that, by the way. If you ever have any issues with any of these platforms, Podbean is the one that pushes it out to all of them. I don't do it individually. So if Spotify's not working, I have no idea why, but the reason I push it out to so many different ones is because if one doesn't work, you've got 5, 6, 7, 8 more that you can listen on. Stitcher's always there, Apple Music, Google. So thank you for, supporting the show on all those platforms, but 681 will drop on Sunday and then Sunday night, right back here live on YouTube, NXT TakeOver War Games. That's how we do it. That is how we do it. Should we take a few calls? Or should we wrap it up and call it a night here? I'm pooped, man. That show wore me out. I wasn't expecting there to be so much chaos here on the show tonight. But it was definitely a memorable episode. Again, next week, Sting is going to speak, so we'll find out more about why he is here in AEW, why he allowed his WWE merchandising deal to lapse. I'm sure he'll get into the particulars of that. Maybe Sting will come on TV next week and he'll say, Undertaker, you can't run from me. You can't retire. You got to come here to AEW. Now that you've retired, you can come here to AEW. He's not going to let it go. Sting is not going to let it go. That would be pretty funny. I'll tell you what, we'll take a few calls. I'll get things set up here. If you want to call in, I will put the number on your screen right now. And that way, if anybody does want to try, I'm only going to open a few lines, so don't yell at me if you can't get through, but we'll take a few. And I will still read your super chats. I see Marcus has one coming in. We'll get to all of them, so if you want to send them on in, I read every single one. What a show, guys. Sting in AEW, Kenny Omega, the new AEW World Champion, Impact Wrestling, fucking around with AEW's product. What is going on here? I don't know, but as a podcaster, it gives me a lot to talk about, so I'm not complaining. Marcus, do you believe AEW has creative control over all cross-promotion? FYI, he says FTR and the North are tweeting each other. I have no idea what level of control AEW would have. Those are only discussions that Tony Khan and Don Callis and them would really be privy to. But to me, AEW is the one in the driver's seat here. They can end this at any moment. For Impact, it seems a lot more important to them for the attention that this is going to generate. Oz and Gloria says, I hope Sting talks about the brass ring. For my sake. Oh, for me. You're saying for me. For my sake. Well, thank you. Yes, so I can talk more about this imaginary brass ring that doesn't exist. The one that Miro said that Vince McMahon should shove up his ass. That brass ring. Let us go. We have the lines were already packed. We'll try to run through this again. If you have a comment, if you have a question, let's keep them brief. Let's not go too long with any of these because there's a lot of people who want to try to get through, and I want to try to get to as many as I can. So again, just be pithy. Hey, Jared.
You know I am a happy guy right now.
I bet you are. I saw only you one word, right? One guy. Word. Starts with S. Ends what? With G.
Okay. I'm trying to think of another word to make it funny, but I can't right now. But yes, the last time I popped that hard was Survivor Series 2014. That was the last time I popped that hard for anything in wrestling, and I'm glad to see him. I'll keep this brief. I know he doesn't always say what he wants to say. He's not that outspoken like a Kevin Nash or a Scott Hall or a Shawn Michaels, but I know he was upset about how they buried him. Come on, let's just all admit it. They buried him. He went out, yes, in a WWE title match, but the way everything happened, whatever could go wrong can go wrong, Murphy's Law. So if he's coming back to explain himself, and like I said, like you said before, very good point, just get in the ring maybe one or two times a year, special attraction, ambassador for the company, merchandise, ratings pop. It is perfect. I am excited, excited, excited. I am excited. I did not believe that he would. Why would he come back at 61 years old? What was the point?
I get the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong. I could be wrong about this, but I have an observation okay. here.
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to guess that you're excited.
I'm very excited. I mean,
I mentioned
a couple weeks ago about Sting, I agreed with you. I thought Tony Khan could maybe allocate his money. He has so much of it to something else. But
well, look, to answer, I'll give you a real answer. The answer to your question, I think, and I haven't talked to the man, so I don't know. But you asked why 61? He's got money. Why would he come back? I don't think he's satisfied with the way his career ended because he did not get to go out on his own terms.
No, and they never announced him once in WWE. Remember that? Lillian Garcia never announced his name once. Hailing from, where was it? Los Angeles, California. Here's Sting, and never announced his name once. Not even at the Hall of Fame next year in Texas. So, just the way he went out against Rollins and what happened in the WrestleMania match was just a complete joke. It was just to get Vince's, to get a 74-year-old man off. That's all he wanted. And I mean, I'm happy to see him. And if this makes him happy, I'm a huge Sting fan since 1988. And I'm an old-time fan. And whatever, 31, 41, 61, 81, I don't care. It's still Sting. He still, that place popped. That maybe had 1,000 people in there. That place popped. I mean, I don't know what other wrestler would come out and pop like that. What, CM Punk maybe? That's about it.
No, absolutely. Look, I mean, it was quite a debut. The people they had there were obviously very excited. I think they were shocked more than anything. But none of them more excited than Jared. That is what our takeaway is from this call. So, Jared, that's...
Come on. Are you not excited? You aren't excited a little bit?
No,
a little stinger didn't come out in you a little bit.
I didn't. Well, you know what? Look, that's not for the. We've got children listening. The little stinger only comes out in certain behind closed doors. The little stinger only comes out behind closed doors. But that's beside the point. No, look. Of course, it was cool to see. I just got done talking about that. I think we can put a bow on that. It was an exciting appearance. Yeah. I have my reservations about him being back in the ring, but in time, time will tell. Time will tell. But Jared, look, anything else before I let you go? You got the first call here, but any other comments before I let you go?
Love the main event. Love where it's going. Have a great night, Jason. Great show tonight.
You too.
I'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Jared was very excited. He's all amped up here for Sting because he's been a longtime fan. Like he said, he's been a fan of Sting's work since 1988. That was when Sting got his big break, right? Against Ric Flair, Clash of the Champions. Food Hive. By the way, Virtual Basement, I saw him in the chat. Shout out to Virtual Basement. He's still here. Food Hive says, I love Callis. He spelled Callis, K-A-L-I-S. L-I-F, Food Hive, come on, man. Callis, C-A-L-L-I-S. Gotta get it right, man. Says, I love Callis being Kenny's manager. If that's the role that he has, I'm okay with that. I just figured it was for the angle tonight, but who knows, maybe he is. Maybe he'll be his manager going forward. But everything is progressing as I said it would, and as I was hoping it would in terms of Kenny going heel, winning the title. Now he can have a lengthy run with it. Hopefully the shoulder. He's got that torn labrum. That's the wild card here. Torn labrum, if it doesn't improve because he's trying to rehab it, he's not having surgery, that could throw a huge monkey wrench into things. So let's hope not. But as things go on, eventually Hangman Page, who may be cooled off a little bit for a while, eventually he'll be brought back into the picture. And I think he should be, unless he just completely, falls off a cliff, popularity-wise, in 2021, you bring it back to Hangman. Months from now, let him be the one to take the championship from Omega. Story still works. I stand by that. Let us go to, I believe this might be the UK. Is this our international caller?
Hi, Solomon. So this is Sully. My full name is Solomon, but yeah,
I know that name.
And
I like that name.
Yeah, I've been a massive fan of yours since 2012, I believe, from TV Tracks.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Don Tony. Yeah, I learned your name through Don Tony and Kevin Castle and everything, and through TV Tracks. And I've been a massive fan since a long time, and I've just. It's been a while. I've really, really looked forward to actually talking to you about wrestling. So yeah, I'm just really happy to.
I'm great. You again. It's packed line tonight, so you got through. I'm glad you got through. Did you?
I'll keep it very brief.
Sure.
But yeah, I think tonight was a. It was a great show. It lived up to more than I thought. I had no expectations going into the show, but seeing Sting come out, I believe that was an awesome moment, because obviously with the last time Sting was on TNT against Ric Flair, comes out tonight, that is an awesome moment as a wrestling fan to see that. beautiful. But looking forward to seeing what he does in the future. I'm kind of in two minds, because at the same time, I don't want to see him wrestle, but I would love to see him do what Tully, what Jake is doing, what Arn is doing, if they can, because they're not taking up talent's time. They're building them up to a certain level, and I would love to see Sting do that. But
I don't know.
I have to see him wrestle at least once.
Yeah, I mean, look, he'll wrestle. I don't know. It's a very different thing for me as far as elevating. I mean, it's always nice. You want the legends to help elevate other people. I don't know if that necessarily 100%. Is going to be his role. Again, I think a lot of it depends on how he's used in the ring. I really don't have any desire to see Sting as a manager or anything like that. So if he is the special attraction who can work with...
But do you... Do,
go ahead.
Do you, sorry to interrupt you, but do you think... Because I really enjoyed his interactions when he was in Impact, as you know, the Joker Sting.
Sure, I like the Joker.
I don't want to see the Joker Sting.
No, I like the Joker.
Yeah, I loved it too. But he was kind of involved with management, and he was kind of booking certain angles. I kind of like that about him. If he can tone it down and be involved in a different way rather than wrestling, then I could see a bunch of storylines that can come out of it, or a bunch of benefits that can happen for younger talent. But seeing him wrestle is something that I'm into minds in, unless he fights the perfect person, and maybe that is Darby Allin, but then I don't know if they both can interact with each other, because they have two different paces.
No, I think you can. Look, he can interact with him. I think that you could definitely get something out of Darby and Sting. I think Sting and Jericho, again, I'd be shocked. If he's going to wrestle multiple times, I would be stunned if Jericho isn't just chomping at the bit to do a match with Sting. Because, again, I can't recall a time the two of them have ever worked together. So I could see want to do kind of like a Legends-type match, you can do it. But then in terms of younger talent... I'd pick a few faces that you really think could get the rub from being in there with Sting.
Do you think Jericho is chomping at the bits? I mean, I know he would probably love, like any wrestler would love to work with Sting. Yeah. Like even as a fan, I would love to meet Sting and meet him as a person. Like I know Jericho, he would probably want to do the same, but yeah, personally, I don't know if Jericho is the one. I think it should just go to either... I'm not even a massive fan of Darby Allin, but seeing them interact tonight, it makes the most sense.
Yeah, and you may be right. And you, look, they stared each other down, right? They had a little stare down in the corner. So could it lead to something?
Yeah, it was better than what I thought.
Yeah, could it lead to something down the road? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Any other thoughts? Any other thoughts?
Just the last thing for tonight.
Sure.
Sorry, I won't take up more of your time.
Sure.
I loved the ending. I loved the fact that they brought up Impact, because that came out of nowhere. Like, I can't remember. I don't think Kenny Omega's ever been in Impact from what I remember.
I don't think so.
It's mainly most of the guys that he's fought. That I'm really intrigued about, and I'm actually more excited about, because I had...
Yeah, one point to make here is that I think it was Callis who made a comment recently that, or maybe it was Kenny. Actually, it was Kenny who did, he did a few interviews to build up this show tonight. And he made the comment when he was talking about, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to WWE? Do I do this new AEW thing? He said, honestly, if he didn't go, and this is what he says now, because... You know, at one time he said he would have loved, he wanted to have a WrestleMania match with AJ Styles. But now his story seems to be that if there was no AEW, or if he decided against going to AEW, that he would have gone to Impact. And he would have gone to Impact because of the friendship that he has with Don Callis. And they are legitimately very close friends. So for some people I saw mocking that, but you know what? If he didn't go to AEW, I could see him having landed in Impact because of the connection to Don Callis.
Don Callis, yeah, 100%. I also agree with that, because this storyline where they've just flipped everything tonight, because no one expected this at all. I didn't see any leaks or anything like that. This smells like something that Don Callis would do, because I've followed him for a long time and he is very good with his booking and storylines. And yeah, this smells like something that he had full control of, and he probably put forward to Tony Khan, and it just sounded like money. So yeah, this is something that I'm really excited for. And
cool. No, absolutely. We're in agreement. We're in agreement on that.
Let's see where it goes.
Yeah, no, I'm very curious to see where this goes. Absolutely.
Because there's so many talent in Impact that relates storyline wise. Because there's the Motor City Machine Gun, sorry, and then there's also Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. There's so much talent that something can happen. It's just so exciting, especially with 2020 being so crap as it is. Just having a little bit of excitement going into 2021, I'm happy, because it's one thing that I was thinking about was they did all this stuff and they're leading into next week Tuesday. Isn't NXT moving to Tuesdays? I know it's not next week, but isn't that happening soon? Because if that coincided with NXT.
No.
Tuesday. No,
I don't know where you've heard that. NXT, as far as I've not heard that at all. Unless it's going to be for a week because of a holiday, but you mean like permanently? No, I haven't heard that at all.
Oh, no. I heard that then they don't want to do Wednesdays, or is that me just being... I read the wrong thing.
Do yourself a favor. You listen to the show anyway, right? If that were going to be legit, you'd hear it on the podcast. If you don't hear it on the podcast, it ain't happening. So... I will definitely keep you. If I hear that, okay, Believe me, I will keep you posted. You don't have to worry about that. But that is not, as far as I know, that is not something that is either been discussed recently or is happening.
I've already run then.
Yeah, but listen, I'm going to let you go because we have so many people on the lines here. But I'm glad you made it through, especially from where you are. It's probably pretty late, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's almost 5:30. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay,
we appreciate you having me. And sorry, I took too long.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for calling. I didn't realize it was so early where he is. 5:00. That is commitment right there. That is commitment. He's probably all psyched up too from what happened on Dynamite tonight. He's not going to be able to go to bed. Joe Olivo, thank you for the $1.99, man. I did see your super chat coming on in. And again, I got to shout out Boots. Dropped $100, our biggest super chat of the night. Professor John Gotti earlier with the $40 drop. You guys have been amazing tonight. But I always like getting some of the international flavor in here. So it's very cool to hear from him. Sally overseas. Let's do a few more. Let's go to, I believe, this might be EJ. Is this EJ?
Yeah, it is EJ. How you doing, Solomon?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I enjoyed tonight's show. Yeah, I did. Thanks for taking my super chats again today. I kind of wanted to go a little bit more in-depth on that, because I was at All In a couple years ago, and it was a great show. And I felt like there was a lot of talent that both WWE and AEW didn't sign, which I understand you can't sign everybody. So I'm excited for this. I feel like it's a way that you can show more guys that were on that show and who weren't on that show. So I don't know if this is going to come into, or this is going to lead to a whole All In too, but it's something that I hope happens. That's something I wanted to say. And real quickly, I won't take too much of your time. It's that time of year. My best friend's niece just turned 2, and I'm going to buy her your mom's book for Christmas this year.
Oh, wow. That's very nice. Yes. The Adventure of Hardy the Horse. I was going to mention that, actually, because I haven't mentioned it a lot recently, but I'll mention it on Twitter soon. But it is, if you think of it, it's a perfect holiday gift. If you've got either a young child or you know somebody who is, it's right in that age range. And that would be very cool, actually, if if you do that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought it for my two little cousins last year. And my cousin said that there's actually a country singer, I don't listen to country music, named Hardy, who has glasses. So when I gave the book, he's like, that reminds me of the country singer. So I don't know if you knew that. I just wanted to tell
you.
No,
I didn't. That's total happenstance. I had no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool.
But yeah, so it was a good show. I hope that we get to see more talent after this leads to something bigger. And yeah, have a great rest of your night, and I'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling, EJ. Always always good to hear from you.
You too, thanks.
All right. So that was EJ. You hear his name pop up in the super chats and in the chat during our streams. Good to hear from him. Let's go over to 810.
Hey, Solomon Austin.
Who am I talking to?
Jaren from the chat.
Hey, Jaren.
I called last week and had a couple questions, but now I'll make it pretty quick for you. Do you think tonight that they save Miro?
Save,
did you get that at all?
Yeah, saved is a strong word. I think it's the sort of Miro.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's the sort of Miro we need to see more of. I mean, he's still going to be in the middle of this video game feud with best friends, but if they could start to pivot away from that stuff and show that side of him like we saw tonight, I would be happier with that. I think that's the kind of Miro that we need to see more of on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Just to me from tonight, he looked really, I guess you could say, badass.
He looked out of control.
Eliminating everyone.
Yeah, I mean, he lost his mind. They had to hold him back. He was uncontrollable. And so that kind of bringing out that anger and that side of him is something that I think is a positive thing.
That's what I'd like to see more, because the whole thing with him and Kip and all that, I very much hate it. I don't like it at all. I think it's garbage, to be honest.
Well, you're not the only one.
I have one more question. So last week, I think it was last week, I called about, my question was about the whole Dark Order thing and who they should recruit, if they should, anybody. And you told me nobody. After watching tonight, what do you think about the whole Adam Page thing and what's going on with that?
I think they're going to continue to recruit. I think he might even, look, I mean, maybe they do a short angle where he joins, but I don't see him, you know, becoming a full-blown member or a long-term member.
Yeah.
But again, he's not going to be challenging Kenny Omega, I don't think, anytime soon. So he now is kind of stuck. He's kind of stuck in limbo, in a way. I don't know what their plans are next for him. If they wanted to have him say, you know what, you guys are treating me pretty well, sure. I'll join the Dark Order. I just don't see it being a long-term thing. And I think it could end up...
I hope it's not.
And it could end up making him feel like less of a star.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the other thing.
If it does,
here's the other thing before you go on to consider.
Yep.
Because somebody before mentioned that Brody Lee has been MIA. And I wonder if they would... Yeah, and it almost feels like Evil Uno is the one who's really trying to recruit him and bring him in. And maybe he comes in, and then when Brody is ready to come back, however much longer he's going to be out for, maybe we come to find out that he didn't approve of this move. Or maybe that's a situation where he and Hangman can't coexist together, and he's trying to bark orders at him, and Hangman's not going to have any of it. And that's when he splits away. Maybe that's going to be the end goal here, and it could be a program between Brody Lee and Hangman Page that's next up for him.
I mean, that could work, I guess, if it were to work. But I just hope it's not like a Colt Cabana angle where he's kind of like down in the dumps, I guess, and they bring him in so he can win. And
losing streak.
I hope.
Yeah,
it's not.
I agree.
Like,
we don't need that.
No,
losing streaks don't usually end well for the person who's on the losing streak. So I'd rather not go down that road with Hangman.
Yeah, exactly. But that's all I actually had to ask. So appreciate you taking my call. And, you know, have a good night.
You too. Hangman Page and the Dark Order. Not really fond of that idea, but like we were just talking about, as a short-term angle to get to something with him and Brody Lee. I can see that being the case. I could see that being the idea. I don't know what other obvious thing you do with Hangman. He is stuck in this weird spot now. He lost to Kenny. Kenny's the champ. I'm sure Moxley's going to want his rematch. What do you do with Hangman? Without him becoming ice cold? Without him becoming the next Lance Archer? Who doesn't have anything to do on TV and barely shows up. You don't want that either. I don't know. Let's go to... Yeah, I think we have a couple of people here from, I think, Puerto Rico. Who do you have on the phone?
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
Good. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Wesley Yamil. Yes, sir. From Puerto Rico right here.
Puerto Rico.
Yes, sir. Hey, so nothing happened, huh?
Yeah, nothing happened. Just another boring show. Yeah. Nothing really to talk about.
Yeah.
Two hours in, nothing to talk about.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
A couple of matches here and there, huh?
Quiet night. Yeah, quiet night.
Yeah. I'm really happy, though. I really... I'm a fan of Sting, and I'm glad he's going to get that, hopefully, that retirement that he really deserves, because I've been watching him for years in Impact or in TNA, and the dude was really, really good. He really helped that promotion a lot, and I'm happy. I'm happy he's going to get that in AEW, but you know, I don't want it to take away from the guys, you know, the Wardlows, the Hangman,
yeah, of
the Barras, because
yeah, of course,
yeah, I'm really expecting it. When I saw Matt Hardy eliminating Hangman, I was like, what are they doing? I screamed. I didn't like that at all. And Wardlow was eliminated by you.
I know.
I didn't like that.
What a prick I turned out to be, right?
Expect.
I dumped Wardlow right out of
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're ruining Wardlow, man.
Now
you're really taking his credibility away.
Well, now I can get my diamond ring, my $50,000 diamond ring next week.
Yeah, yeah. You better take care of that, because MJF is a pretty dangerous dude over there. So be careful. I'm rooting for you, Jason.
Thank you.
I'm rooting for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, I didn't like the. I really enjoyed the main event. I liked it a lot. The only part that I didn't like it was JR like pointing out that they were like 7 minutes outside the ring and the referee was out with them. Yeah. That kind of took me out of the match.
Yeah, that was,
but
I should have commented on that too, because that was, I mean, you could talk about the referee being lenient, but I mean, it's not like there were no countouts in the match and they were out there for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to enforce rules, you know, the rules are there to actually help the referee get them in the ring, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got 10 seconds outside the ring, you got to get in.
That's the whole point of having
rules.
Yeah, that's the whole point of having rules. If you don't have rules, then you have anarchy.
Yeah. And, you know, but whatever. They're very inconsistent with the rules. Here in Puerto Rico, we are like that, too. I mean, it's horrible. But,
I've heard.
So I kind of let that go. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes it gets in my nerves, especially when JR is pointing it out. Like, they're like 5-7 minutes outside the ring, and then Jim mostly throws in the chairs in the ring. I'm like, well, dude, it's no DQ. What's going on here? But I understood it was part of the story they were telling, so I didn't get that upset about it. It was fine, and it was a great ending, because the mayor was like, oh, I don't leave the garbage wrestling in the bag. And then he's the one cheating. It's excellent, you know.
Well, that's,
it's the type of things AEW.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because again, I've been waiting for them to actually make it official, right? With the heel turn, and now they did.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about it. He's the one who asked for a gentleman's agreement, and yet he's the one who pulled that stunt to get the win. And so, and the other thing I liked about it too is they gave us a cliffhanger ending tonight. And what's unique about this cliffhanger is they didn't tell you to, hey, tune in next Wednesday. They were like, tune in on Tuesday. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
But it's always...
I hated that.
Well, yeah, I know some people did, but it's always good to have a cliffhanger, because you're doing a television show.
Absolutely.
And you want to give people a reason to tune in. So I can't fault them for that. But I agree on the Kenny thing, though. I thought that part of it, the fact that he was the one who asked for the gentleman's agreement, and then he ended
Beautiful.
Up becoming, you know, being anything but a gentleman. That, to me, is the definition of a good prick heel. I love it.
Yeah. I think you know, you mentioned Hangman taking over from Omega in a few months. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be Hangman with the Dark Order against Impact. I'm starting to think that because it's like these guys are helping Hangman. I don't like the idea that much. I'm not hot into it, but I think that's what's going to happen because Omega's going to get this group from Impact and they're going to fight the Dark Order. I think that's going to be it because I don't like it. I'm not hot on it, but I think that's where they're going to go because they usually do stuff like that in Impact and they're desperate for anything. Like they brought in the phenomenal one, CJ Swaggle last week.
I saw that.
And they did. Yeah, they are desperate for anything. And I think, you know, maybe the Dark Order is not a hot act in AEW. I think John Silver is. They're on BTE. They're hot in BTE, not on AEW. But
yeah.
That's the way I see it. But I think Impact takes it. I think Impact takes it. I think.
Well, we'll see. Like I said, anything. I don't know what form this is going to take. I don't know if we're going to start to see these kind of interpromotional matches or if maybe it's just going to be purely stuff with Omega making an appearance on Impact. And maybe right now, that's it. And maybe they just want to gauge what the fan reaction is. Yeah, look, hey, Dark Order running around to other promotions doesn't necessarily excite me either. But this is what happens. Yeah. This is the fans, you know, they're going to come up with all these different possible fantasy scenarios. But at the moment, we don't really know what the extent of the relationship is. So I think we all kind of have to not get too far ahead of ourselves. And I think within the next week or so, we're going to, you know, more stuff will come out. We'll know more about how deep this relationship is going to go. And then we can kind of fantasy book this into oblivion. But you may be right. You know, perhaps we'll see Hangman of the Dark Order, like you said, together and doing something against the stars from Impact. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves yet. Anything else before we move on?
No, you know, I will say to the people who want women's wrestling, you know, be patient. I watched Dark last night. I like Lady Frost. They're getting some good women there. I like Dreamer Girl, Ellie. There's a girl named Genocide, I think her name is. She's like a cyborg. She's a big girl. They got Red Velvet. And I, you know, I wasn't really into the Lady Hirsch. Is that her name?
Like, Layla.
The small one.
Yeah, Layla Hirsch.
Layla Hirsch. I'm not into her because she's like smaller than the ring itself, but I think people need to be a little bit more patient with that division. I think it's going to get better, I think. And they got China back, so they got to be patient with that. I think that they don't need to be like, oh, put some women's wrestling here and there, you know.
Yeah.
And they can have patience with it. And I think, that's all I wanted to talk about, Jason. I want to thank you for letting me talk. It's a privilege to talk to you, Jason.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to have you on the air.
Yeah, and good luck with MJF next week.
I'm going to try my hardest. I go into training tomorrow, so wish me luck.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jason. Okay. Have a good night.
You too. Have a good one. My big battle with MJF. That prick. Coming up next, I thought he said China. I should have asked him who he was, that one woman who he was talking about. That would be quite the comeback. Rizzo sent the super chat in. Should AEW move to Mondays? No. No, 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 no. I know TNA did it. Like he said, TNA did it. They got slaughtered. AEW is competing right now, but they're not there. It's a bad idea. I don't like that idea at all. Turtlehead, I feel the Dark Order are the most I see what he's saying. The most over job guys in wrestling history. Well, I don't know about that. I know people like John Silver, but let's not go. Come on. Wasn't Al Snow part of the job squad? Al Snow in his day was pretty, well, it was more head. Because again, everybody loves head. But he was pretty over. There have been some job guys over the years that have been very popular. I don't know if I'd say that about the Dark Order. But John Silver is quite entertaining. I do enjoy John Silver. I think we have another caller here from... I believe also Puerto Rico. Who's on the air? Who am I talking to?
Hello. Yes. It's M. I've been in the chat sometimes, but I can't super chat because I'm in Puerto Rico. It doesn't allow me to super chat. So I support you every week by listening to your podcast.
Thank you.
I work the midnight shift, so it's a great listen every time. So I thank you for that, Thomas.
Sure. And
so I love the show. I'm a huge Kenny Omega fan, so it was well due for him to become the champion. So my question really is, it's not about the show, but it's about Moxley and the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that Tony Khan said in a conference call that he's not going to allow Moxley to go to Wrestle Kingdom. So I just want to ask you, what do you think they're going to do with the U.S. championship? I know Kenta is going to be the briefcase, but what do you think they'll do with Moxley? Do you think they'll strip him of the title? Or what do you think they're going to do over there?
Well, I mean, they might have to, depending on how much longer this goes on for. I think they've held on to the hope that he would be able to defend it, and they've waited this long. So I would guess they're going to let him hold on to it for a little while longer. But the question becomes, you know, and when was the last time he defended it? I don't even remember the last date that he defended it. We're coming up. I don't know if it's been a year.
I think.
Has it been?
Yeah, I think the last time was Archer, I think.
Well, that was
in Wrestle Kingdom.
So we're looking at a year. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where their head is at. I mean, they've waited this long. If they want to just keep it on ice for a little bit longer, I think it would be a shame, because that would be the second time, right, that he's been stripped of that championship.
Yeah.
Without losing. So ideally you would want him to drop it to someone, you know, in your promotion. I guess the question just becomes, if not Wrestle Kingdom, then when? And also, what's Kenta going to do? Because Kenta's got the briefcase, so what does he do at Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah, I guess he's in that Miz position as well, like just like the Miz.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's got a briefcase, and you have no idea when he's actually going to cash in and use it. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where their head is at. If it were me, I would wait a little bit longer in the chance that we can get him in there and have him drop it the right way. You know, having to strip him twice is not an ideal solution.
No, not at all. So, yeah, thank you so much, Fallen Monster, for letting me call in. And, yeah, I'll keep supporting your show.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's tough. You know, Moxley has that U.S. title. It's just been sitting, collecting dust for almost a year. I mean, who knew, right, that we'd be in the situation that we're in. But you've waited this long. It's hard. Is he not going to be at Wrestle Kingdom because Tony Khan just has other plans for him and he, schedule-wise, it's just not going to work? Is he just not interested in letting him go back there at all until the pandemic is over? Because that, if that's the case, then you almost have to take the belt off him, because that's still months down the road. I don't know what New Japan is thinking. I don't know if Tony Khan said no, because he did. He said no in that interview that he wouldn't be at Wrestle Kingdom. Is that because he just doesn't want him to go there, or that one particular event conflicts with something? I don't know. 919.
Hey, Solomon, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Feeling good. First time calling. I'm not going to sound long. I just had one quick question.
Sure.
So with Blood and Guts supposed to be around in February, I think, in February coming up. Do you think they would do it then? And if so, what would your plan be?
Well, doing what in February?
Trying to do Blood and Guts. Like, do you think they can do it in daily?
Blood and Guts. I think that they're going to want to, well, they've waited this long. I think they're going to want to wait until they can get into a regular building. And honestly, I think they probably would love to wait until they can come back to Newark and do it in the building they were going to do it in March and give those people what they promised. Question is, when are they going to be able to go to another building outside of Daly's place? I think February is too soon. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. Blood and Guts to me is not such an urgent thing. I think you can wait until you can get more people in the building. that's a special kind of match that you can really build up either for a pay-per-view or a big episode of Dynamite. If it were me, I would just hold off. And you need two warring factions that are really like in a blood feud. So you've really got to wait for the right people. Obviously, it's not. I don't think it's going to be the Elite against the Inner Circle. I think the participants are going to look very different when they finally get to it. I wouldn't rush it. And I don't think they're going to. I think they're gonna wait, take their time. If they can get into a regular building with people in February, then sure, they could do it in February. But I think they're just going to wait when they have the right teams and they're in a place where they can have actual human beings. And they had human beings in Daly's place, but I'm talking like thousands of people. Then you do it. To me, there's not such a rush. We're getting a War Games. We're getting two War Games matches on Sunday. They can put some distance between WWE's War Games and their War Games. If that means the middle of next year, if that means next summer, fine with me. So I think they're going to want to hold off on it. That's what I would do. And let's go to 203.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Hey, Solomacho, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. I got a comment on this tonight. Sting in AEW? I mean, how is this possible?
Well, you see, contracts run out. When contracts run out, guys want to get paid. And if you got a guy who's willing to pay you, you take the contract. And so Sting got himself a sweet deal.
Well, heck yeah. But and also, Impact Wrestling not working with AEW now? I mean, how do you explain that?
Well, you sound exasperated by this. Well, it's very simple. Kenny Omega is very friendly with one of the people who runs Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling is in dire need of getting more attention on their product, getting more eyeballs on their product. And you have a guy in Tony Khan who was born a fan, right? At the end of the day, he's a wrestling fan who I think wants to see the same thing that a lot of what we've been talking about tonight, which is I think in his mind, he thinks it's really cool to be able to work across the aisle with other promotions. And all it takes is Impact to reach out and say, hey, we got an idea. And, you know, he's friendly with Kenny. Kenny can put a good word in. And voila, we've got a potential working partnership here between these two companies.
Well, I think it's a pretty good idea. And I mentioned a couple of years ago that Impact should work with AEW. But I didn't really see that coming tonight. But I'm interested to see what happens next.
We will. And hopefully you'll tune into the Dynamite review next week because Sting's going to talk and we'll find out more about why Sting is in AEW.
All right. Well, thank you very much and have yourself a good night.
You too. Boy, he's got all the questions. He sounded exasperated there. It's just overwhelming what happened tonight. So many different things happened. And it's hard to kind of put all the pieces together, I guess. But he'll tune in next week. I'll be here. I'll be back here with you guys. We'll be talking about Dynamite next week as well. Let's go to 201. You are on the air.
What's up? What's up, Solid Monster?
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
I am doing great. I'm getting a little tired, but I'm doing great.
Hi, I'm Thomas. I'm calling from Jersey City, New Jersey. Jersey City represent. How you doing?
Doing good, Thomas.
And second, how you doing, man? I'm listening, man. I know everybody all shocked about what happened tonight on AEW. I know that. But I'm not going to be surprised when even Zelina Vega or Brock Lesnar shows up to AEW because Vince McMahon needs to start taking notes. And I'm not playing. Because Vince McMahon treated everybody like crap. And this Impact and AEW thing, that's the one that's going to, you know, that's gonna hit a lot of books, you know. I want to see people like Deonna Purrazzo, who is beautiful and talented, go up against Brandi Rhodes. Those are dream matches. I want to see fucking the Good Brothers versus FTR. I want to see Kenny Omega versus, you know, whoever, man. Like, Impact Wrestling is definitely in need for popular viewers, and I think this is it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would disagree on one thing when you said that you were talking about the people that have been treated like crap and you lumped Brock Lesnar in there. I think Brock Lesnar has been treated anything but crap. I think Brock Lesnar got himself a sweet deal every single time he would re-sign one of those contracts. So he got treated a lot better than a lot of people probably did in that company. Zelina is interesting because I saw she tweeted something earlier either yesterday or today. She was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I think it was today.
Was it today? Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, people assume that meant, oh, she's coming to AEW. I read that as, I don't know, who knows, all this union talk, who knows what kind of conversations that this woman is having. They also got to be careful. AEW can't just go out and be signing all these people all at once, because then you're going to get, they're just signing the WWE scraps, this and that. So
exactly.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Like a WCW ripoff and shit.
Yeah.
And here's my other point is, it's moments like these when you have Kenny Omega winning the title and a screw job. It's moments like these when it gets me to the point where, well, why is Vince McMahon not taking any notes? Why is he not listening to his fans? Why is Monday and Friday have to be such an embarrassing shit show? Because I've given him so many chances about, you know, I keep watching these shows and it gets horrible every time, and I get so embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. It's such bullshit.
Well,
and I'm pretty sure you understand my frustration.
I do, and I hear it every day because I get emails every day from people. But I think this is the problem you run into when you have a company that, despite everything you just said, is still making more money than it's ever made before. Right. And so they've got this money that they're going to get no matter what. It's in their contracts, right? They're good to go for the next few years.
Yeah, but I don't like the way Vince is controlling everybody. I don't like the way certain wrestlers are being booked. I don't like the way they're being controlled by the demands that Vince McMahon is making. And I'm calling out Vince McMahon right now. Your creative process, your shows, Raw and SmackDown, they suck. I'm telling you right now. You wanna fight me in the ring? Come in Jersey City. I'm right here, Vince.
Uh-oh. He's laid down the gauntlet. Vince ain't going to be caught dead in Jersey City. He'll be caught dead in Jersey City when he's caught dead here in Brooklyn. He ain't coming our way. I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
I'm not afraid of Vince McMahon, you know. Maybe I'll have Stephanie in bed with me so I can have her change his mind.
All right. Well, Jersey City, not a great representation there of Jersey City. I mean, come on, he went all Macho Man there. Remember, that's what got Macho Man in, all those rumors got started. Macho Man was insulted by Triple H, called him like a fossil or something, and then what happened? Macho Man went into his gym, he recorded a video, he told Triple H, don't be talking about me, if you do, I'm gonna come get your wife. And then all these different rumors came out of it. You don't want to go down that road. Start rumors that aren't true. But he seemed very upset. Clearly, he's very upset with Vince McMahon. He's got a bone to pick with Vince. And Vince, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, I'm absolutely convinced. I know Vince McMahon is watching this AEW Dynamite stream at 12:40 in the morning. The gauntlet has been laid down. So all Vince has to do is show up in Jersey City. Did he say Jersey City? Was it Jersey City where he was from? Jersey City. And it's going to go down. It's going to be bare knuckle time in Jersey City. I hope he gets it on video. We can air it here on the Sound Off. Well, that was certainly very interesting. Let's do, let's see, maybe one or two more. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason, longtime listener. What are they smoking in Jersey City?
I don't know, but I got to get me some of that.
I had a quick question, and this isn't WWE fan versus AEW fan malarkey. It's just an obvious observation. Sting is 61 years old. Now, I'm not trying to rain on a parade and cancel the fun, but he's 61. He signed to a multi-year contract. In your honest opinion, do you see him wrestling 3-2 or having, you know, quality matches in this time?
Depends on your definition of quality. I think with the right opponent, maybe a little bit of smoke and mirrors, he could probably get a perfectly fine match out of it. My issue is more just, you know, making sure that he's protected. I don't want to see a repeat of what happened in 2015. And now it's 5 years later. It's 5 years older, right? With a bum neck. So that's my only concern. Can Sting go in there and have a quality match, the way that guys 20 years younger than him or 25 years younger are going to have? No. But I do think that, with the right opponent and with enough smoke and mirrors, depending on how the match is structured and if there's a special stipulation, maybe it's no DQ, he can use weapons or something. I think he could probably get through a decent match. You're going to have to be real selective, though, with how many matches, who it's against. And he could probably do fine with that. It's just a lot of questions that I have about his health and safety. I have to assume that AEW is going to take care of him, and they're not going to put him in the ring if they think he's that much of a liability. So we'll just have to wait and see.
And one more question, and I'm not going to bore you to death with a 45-minute promo. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, like, with everything that's happened between AEW and WWE and these two fan bases just fighting each other, do you think there's a reason as to why WWE and AEW haven't received the mainstream attention they deserve, and it's in the eyes, and it's all because of wrestling fans and the attitudes we have about we're not satisfied over the product, we're hard to satisfy, or we don't seem to enjoy things easily? Meaning, basically what I'm trying to say is that we're very nitpicky. You know, like, do you think, sure, the writing could be better, but do you think there's been instances in wrestling in the recent years where there was bitching for no reason?
There's always bitching for no reason. That's been here since, look, I do the RSPW segments where I go through posts from literally 20, 30 years ago. And maybe the internet wasn't as prevalent now, clearly, as it was, you know, as it is today. And there was no social media. There was nitpicking and bitching going on in 1989. You just didn't hear about it, and I didn't hear about it because I was too young to know about it. So bitching and nitpicking is hardly a new phenomenon. It's just that everybody has such a louder voice now, right, than they would have had all those years ago. So yeah, the fans are guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. The company should not get an excuse, though, for bad television. You cannot put it all on the fans. Yes, the fans are not innocent. The fans sometimes let their expectations get the better of them, but that is not an excuse for putting out some of the television that we have seen this year alone, that we see every week. No excuse. So there's a lot of blame to go around. The reason why wrestling, you mentioned the word mainstream, why would wrestling catch fire the way it did 20 years ago? What is it about wrestling now that would take it mainstream? There is no appeal, and we're talking WWE now, right? Where's the appeal to that broad audience? What is it that they're doing right now that's going to draw those people in? Nothing.
That's a very good point. You know, Jim Cornette had a quote where he was like, wrestling was never supposed to go mainstream. So maybe, just maybe, things are, you know, happening the way they were supposed to. Thank you for taking my call, man. Have a wonderful night.
Sure, you too. Yeah, I mean, Cornette may say that wrestling was never meant to be mainstream, but that's what, you know, he sounds like an old promoter who you would expect to hear that from in the 70s and the 80s. Vince McMahon came along in the mid-80s. He took it national. You had the first WrestleMania. You had Liberace and Muhammad Ali and Mr. T. So it went national. And all the old farts who had other ideas of what it was supposed to be, they got flushed out. I don't know that I agree with that, that wrestling was never meant to be mainstream. Just because it wasn't previously mainstream does not mean that wrestling was never meant to go mainstream. It went mainstream. And it brought in new fans as a result. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm sure, you know, old wrestling purists probably didn't like that. So I'm not shocked that he would say something like that. But it's not a matter of that. You've got to put a product out that people are going to watch and not feel ashamed to be watching. That if somebody else walked in the room while they were watching it, they would hang their head in shame. you know, it's very simple. Bad television is bad television. And until that gets fixed, I don't see how you're bringing in new fans. I honestly don't see how you can watch that product on most Mondays, less so SmackDown, but on most Mondays, more so than Fridays, I don't see how you can watch that and say, oh, this is going to bring in new people. Where are these people coming from? What is it that's so attractive about those shows to new people? Am I missing something? Nobody is going to watch any of that stuff and say, well, gee golly, I got to be watching this every week, especially all 3 hours. Nobody is saying that. But it all starts from the top. It's the creative vision of one person. Until that person is ousted or brings somebody else in and says, you know what? I think you would bring a fresh perspective to things. Until that happens, and guess what? Ain't going to happen. Not voluntarily. It's not going to happen. But until that happens, that's not going to change. I think we're all caught up on this. Actually, we're not. We got one more super chat here. This might be the last one. Oz and Glorious, you might get the last word. I hate Vince McMahon with the intensity of 1,000 burnings. With the intensity of 1,000 burning suns. But he would beat Jersey City guys. Oh, yeah. Well, I said I would love to see that fight if they ever came to blows. It would be something I think that would go viral. And I think it would be very entertaining. This is also very entertaining. Watching your Twitter poll feedback at Solomonster on Twitter. That is the place to go. Thank you, guys. All the calls, all the super chats. We had a lot of fun tonight. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to wake up at 6. So I'm going to get the hell out of here. The laundry's not going to do itself. So we got to go to the laundromat. We got to do what we got to do. Do what we got to do in Jersey. In Jersey City. We'll have George Matthews. We'll do the commentary. Vince Russo will be there. Bro, I'm going to book the whole show, bro. I booked TNA. Bro. What am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you for all the support. Hit like on your way out, please, on this video. I would appreciate it. Sub to the channel if you're not already subbed. And thank you again for all of your wonderful support. I will see you on Sunday night, NXT War Games. TakeOver War Games live right back here on YouTube. And again, next Wednesday, I'm not doing an Impact stream. Whatever happens on Impact, we'll talk about it next Wednesday live on the AEW stream. So join me then. Until then, be well, stay safe, and like I said, see you guys Sunday night. Take care.